children. And this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
I will always believe, and I will always say in public, that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
We are the number one hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signing them. You really couldn't tell who they were. And I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom. And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You'll get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat and they'll kind of sit back and watch to see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes to do all of this. The Soros scum and the Soros DA and just all of them. They're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity. How'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag. Remember everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at and knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant.
All right. Welcome to the War Room. We're going to be back after a one-minute break, and Alex Jones will be joining me. This is Rob Dew hosting the War Room. Be prepared. It's going to be sizzly.
InfoWars.com.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of Methilene flows through me. These wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul. or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal. Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay, and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight, before the globalists turn out the lights.
This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. This little piggy went wee, 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 all the way home. And this little piggy burned down the New World Order. Let me see your war face, Schumer. Let me see your war face, Obama. Let me see your war face. Because what you're seeing from Trump and what you're seeing from people all over the world is our war face. And it's not just the face. It reflects the internal eruption. So good luck. But I commit myself into the hands of God. And I pray on the altar of God that I be given the discernment and the will and the strength and the support to remove the chains from humanity. So let's never forget the business that we are about and the time in which we live. They want to break our will. Don't just survive and persevere and not let them break your will. Instead, take the weight of their assault and use it as a tool to strengthen every fiber of your psyche, your soul, and who you are. And pledge with me, eternal resistance over every form of tyranny that has attacked the mind of man. And pledge, as he pledged 250 years ago, the great architect of our republic, Thomas Jefferson, I have sworn on the altar of God eternal resistance against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Make that pledge and feel the universe open up. Step into the space-time continuum and realize we're sharing that same moment with Thomas Jefferson now. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. There is only one endless, timeless moment. And absorb the void, and you will be there staring back at God. Real leadership, the essence of leadership, is showing people how it's done so that they understand it's the right way and getting them to adopt it. And being a leader means you go against the tide when the tide is wrong. You go against the crowd when the crowd is wrong. You go against the establishment when the establishment is degenerate and sick. And then by example and by competence and by will and by strength, then the timid join you. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, quote the great Mark Twain. In the beginning, the patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. The patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And when you commit to something worthy and good, it is not a weight. It is everything. It is your greatest strength. It becomes your soul to risk your life for freedom. It's what God forged you in his mind, as he created your soul before he even put you in your mother's womb. He knew you.
What did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before I work my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theelkshows.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealkshowstore.com.
Unveiling the truth behind the globalist curtain. Welcome to the war room.
Made the name War Room, and it's a standard name for a political show. I didn't certainly invent that. They have documentaries called The War Room, and then Steve Bannon had the same name, and you know, only got mad about that. I was like, that's just a good name for a political show. But we're going to change the name here in the next few days. We could have a debate about what that name should be. I want to cover all this historic news and things that are happening. I was so excited Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday till Owen called me about the incredible things that are happening. I mean, Kennedy alone, I mean, they have devastated the deep state. Bill Gates is on the rocks. This is such an amazing moment. And then Owen, when he walked off the show last Thursday, said, I'll talk to you Monday. And I sent him a few messages. Hey, let's talk before then. Well, then Monday, he sends a text and says, I'll meet with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow, today. And I said, no, let's talk now. So I literally called him. He called me at the same time. I picked up. And that's when I really got pissed. Because he said, it was probably a 50-minute conversation, but he said a lot of stuff. But he said, well, no, please don't quit. I haven't done these things. I haven't censored you. I haven't done these things. He said, well, if you're really desperate, just give me more money. But I'm going to do a new show, and I'm going to promote it on InfoWars. It wasn't about him having some show I wanted to fight with or something. I'm in competition. I want patriots everywhere. I boost all the other shows. And I said, say that again. He said, no, I mean, if this is desperation. He was like literally like a villain, very arrogant, very hateful. Then you just pay me more money. Well, we don't have any extra money. I don't even, the salaries are set by the bankruptcy. I can do bonuses. I've been doing that. And I just said, no, and there's no need. He said, well, I'll do you a favor. I'll come in and do a week.
And I said, no, Owen, that's not needed either. I said, just, it's okay. Let's just be friendly about this. And me and my daughter were swimming in the pool at the time, my 8-year-old. I was literally had a tear in my eye. I was like so aggressive, so arrogant. And then a few hours later, he launches a live stream and says why he left InfoWars and implies that he was censored, implied, I mean, I hire hosts I liked. I think are smart. They don't have to agree with me on everything. I talked to Harris this morning live on air. He said, no, you've never told me what to say or do. Other than, hey, this is a sponsor. You know, here's the thing. Or I think you ought to have this guest on. We all share stuff. It's a newsroom. So obviously, Nick Fuentes has been massively censored and attacked. And so people see that. And that was real. This was like creating a fake thing. So he's like, well, I know Alex doesn't, you know, want me to criticize Trump, so I've got to leave. You know, I know he'll lose White House access. We criticize Trump when he's wrong. He listens. There's not some White House access. We put Trump in there. So he would do that over and over again. Then later say, oh, but I'm not being censored. We have clips of that. So he wanted to have his cake and eat it, too. That's what made me so mad was the way he did it and how he was so arrogant on the phone. But then once he did his live stream, which I could not watch the 5 hours. I watched a couple hours of it, and people sent me close. He was like, I'm so sad. I just wanted to come back and shake his hand. And I don't know why I can't do my last week. Well, it's not because we don't want you to, quote, promote your new show. I'm not in competition with that. It's that you called up and tried to pimp me, and he wouldn't even talk to the crew. They'd say hi to him. We can bring him in here. In the last couple of years, he wouldn't even talk to people. He would literally walk up and laugh at me. And people were like, man, what's going on? I was saying, he's going to quit soon. He wants me to fire him. I'm not giving him what he wants. And we still gave him his bonuses, everything. Because I was thinking of the old Owen before two, three years ago. So people say, well, why is Jones so upset? Because I am fed up with Benedict Arnolds. And I watched David Knight in the 2020 election. A year before, he put a tweet out saying, I'm being censored. And I came to him in his office. I said, dude, we didn't censor you. I mean, nothing against him, but I'm busy in the morning. I barely ever watch David's show. And I hired both the sons, and he gave him raises, everything. And he was basically like, well, you're on air disagreeing with me. I know you're talking about me. Because I'd be saying things that I was saying, and because I was disagreeing with him, he thought that was censorship. No, me having my free speech is not censorship to you. Well, it's the same thing with Owen. In that I'm like, yeah, I love Owen. He's great, but he's so black-pilled. He ought to cover, you know, the positive stuff and not just the negative. That's what talk show hosts on networks do. Like on Fox, one show talks about the other on those panels, all of that. And he's like, well, he hangs over me. He stands over my shoulder. Well, when he got hired, I put microphones in the studios. Anytime the crew wants to pop in, they never do it. I wanted them to. And Owen knew the famous thing. Did you ever find where I throw the cowboy hat from like 20 feet away and it lands on his head?
I found it in one promo that somebody put together because we've been looking but you can't even really see it. It's so quick.
You've been here 16 years. We set this up to have the crew be part of the show. So suddenly the last 6 months, Owen started telling the crew he didn't like it when I would come in like once a month. That's the best censorship he's got is that. And then like he ran off the show Thursday because Kyle Serafin calls and has like all this breaking news. Oh yeah, exclusive. Cash Kills girlfriend suing me. Found a secret J6 thing, all this. I was going to see my dad in the hospital. I just called Rob Agueros and said, hey, if you want Serafin on, tell him he can come on before 4:30. Owen heard that and just left. So the censorship is in a newsroom. Hey, this is breaking, blah, blah. I mean, I get mad at the crew when things don't break. They don't bring me clips. I mean, that's what we do. You've been here 16 years. So imagine like vagaries, because it's technically true. Like Jones comes in and stands over my shoulder. Yeah, like once a month. And you know it's part of the show. Jones tries to control the show. You mean I come to the crew? They come to me. We all share stuff. We call each other all the time. You send me links every day. Look at this. You send me links. They were up early this morning, like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So, but you could technically say, Rob Dude tries to control the show. Well, sending me a link is controlling the show. So, but technically it's true. Like I'm, you know, so. Yeah, there it is. So, I mean, look at this abuse. I mean, this is like literal censorship right here. I've tried to odd job in Goldfinger, like, the hat could cut your head off. So that's the old Owen, the happy, sweet Owen. But starting about 3 years ago, he got darker and darker and darker. And, hey, let's get a steak. Nah. hey, you know, I talked to the crew today. They said, yeah, for like a year. They say, hi, Owen, just walks right past them. And then when The Onion and Bloomberg fake bought the place, the fake auction, which was confirmed, which they're trying again, we got a call from the producer. Owen just quit. He wasn't defending what was happening to us. He wasn't talking about it. He was like announcing a fundraiser for his new network. But when we came back on the next day, he slunk back in and did it. And I saw him like the next week. Hi, Owen. Everything's, see, I told you we're going to keep you forever. We love you. He just went. And I was like, the crew's like, man, what's going on? I said, we had this conversation with Rob. I said, I'm not giving what he wants. He wants me to fire and be the victim. And people kept saying, like, man, this is getting really bad. And I was like, it's okay. We're going to let him do this because we love the old Owen, and we're not going to put up with that. But this morning at 6 a.m., I'm up like 5 a.m., I see some clips. I go, oh, I'm taking the high road. We love Owen, all this stuff. Then I saw more clips. Then I was going to work out at 7:30, and I said, you know, I'm going to stop. I'm going to watch. I'm just going to start the first. And I sat there for an hour, and I watched it. And it was a giant publicity stunt, all oblique, all innuendo about being censored but not saying it, and then later adding I wasn't censored. It was cold-blooded publicity stunt, sociopathic. Oh, and I'm a person. I have four children. I'm a human being. And I'm not rocket fuel for you. So he's probably sitting there, you know, down the street, literally a mile from here, loving this. But it isn't, like, oh, I got it. I baited him. I got him. This is so good for your new show. No. All the thinking people know now. Because you can't be trusted on any issue now. It's not about hurting you. I was telling him yesterday on the phone, I'm like, well, I'm glad you're going to do your own show. That's fine. Hopefully, I'm sure it's going to be great. We got new owners coming in, whether InfoWars survives or not. We'd love to carry your show. Nah. Harrison told me later, he goes, yeah, when we thought we were being shut down in November, nobody believed me that we would beat it. Even though we had new buyers and a new studio and everything, I said, hey, Owen, you should come on my show, come on yours. He's like, no, I'm done with you. So started about really 2 years ago, creepy, arrogant, power trip, just disgusting. I mean, Owen's a disgusting person now. And I boosted him and promoted him, so I have a responsibility to tell the truth. This isn't me scorned that he quit. It's that he literally said, oh, you want to do this now and not in person? I said, yeah, I don't have time at 10 a.m. to meet with you. He's like, fine, calls me. And he just says, he's like, ha-ha. I was talking to the devil. He's like, well, if you're really desperate, you can pay me more money. But I'm still going to do my new show and promote InfoWars. Is that all right with you? I went, say that again. He goes, well, if you're making desperate moves, you're desperate, aren't you, Alex? And no, we're actually winning more than ever. And I was just like, he was like demoralizing me. Like, you ready to make desperate moves? You want to keep me, huh? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I'm going to promote my new show on your network. And I was just like, Owen, no, that's okay. You don't need to come in. Thanks. And I literally was sitting there on the edge of my little pool, my daughter playing with her toys. And I literally sat there in the water. I had a tear in my eye, and I was like, wow, that's terrible. And then the phone starts ringing a few hours later. Owen's on air saying, oh, my God, I want to just shake his hand. I just wanted to come on his show and, you know, thank him for everything. And he told me, no, I got kicked out. And when I listened to that, it was like my soul was being torn out, that even Owen Schroyer fell to this spirit. And that's why I've always been so nice and not in fought and not done this stuff. But literally, I've been thinking about it and seeking the Holy Spirit. And God's like, no, you need to call out people to do stuff like this. Because if you don't, people like that will continue to do this stuff to other people. So the holy grail to these people is to say they've been censored. And if you can say Alex Jones censored you, and then you can play victim, that's a big boost. You have millions of viewers last night for him. Not him breaking a story, not even something else, why he left InfoWars. And so that's why I'm so pissed at Owen. He abandoned this place. And then he lied. I mean, I called Rob because he's the HR guy. And I called the other accountants. And I said, you know, I feel like I gave him an $80,000 raise on top of his huge paycheck. And this morning I came in, they had all the documents. They said, yeah, you're right. It's $80,000 in the last 4 years increase in pay. And you gave him all these bonuses. And it was looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we have the clip of him saying, I haven't had a raise since 2018. Like just that alone, like he thought he could cry poverty. While I knew he had side sponsors. I knew he was promoting his other shows. Who else has a network and lets their host have their own shows outside of it? But he did that. And then he turned around. While I don't even get paid at InfoWars now for a long time. It doesn't matter. They thought I'd give up when that happened. It means nothing to me. My life's way simpler. So I can't have my integrity raped because someone wants to play victim and play the good guy, and then I play the part of the bad guy when I'm not. So I want to move into other news. I want to talk about all this other stuff. And I know you've loved Owen, Rob, and everything else, but when you saw this yesterday, we talked earlier. I called you before we went on air, and you're like, yeah, we're going to take the high road. Hopefully he does a new show. I'm sure it'll be good. Once we launch the network with new owners, we'll hire him back. And then I start getting calls from you and the rest of the crew. They're like, oh, my God. 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 And so, yeah, this is personal, folks, because we did nothing to him. And he's treated us like dog shit for over a year, 2 years bad. I mean, he literally would walk into me. He'd see me in the hall, and he'd just look me up and down and just laugh at me. I was like, people are like, whoa, what was that? They're like, he's trying to get fired. I don't know what they want that. They need that. And so that is what this is. And it's drama queen behavior, and it's bigger than Owen Schroyer. It's emblematic of somebody in love with themselves who thinks they're smarter than everybody else and who thinks that attacking this organization is under such globalist attack is cute and funny. He loves it. He loves the hundreds of news articles about him. He loves it. And he'll probably make new stuff up. That's fine. His new gig is being the Puritan. He's the good man. Look how in love with himself he is. And all his secret life and all the stuff, you know, and like, you know, his plan. I learned today he's getting ready to sue because some news articles ran things that he celebrated the mass shooting in Minnesota. He never celebrated it. He said their attempt, as I said Wednesday, to cover up that it was a trans shooter, that failed spectacularly. He told me, he said, you know, I backed you in that and I got attacked. And I said, well, it's the truth. He goes, yeah, it is the truth. That was one of the things he talked about. And so, again, that's the kind of things that he's up to with this chip on his shoulder. So here on his show, the co-host with Roger Stone 8 years ago, 9 years ago, here we are not putting up with it. And so he thinks he's going to get his publicity. I don't care whether this helps or hurts Owen. He has to know that I'm on a toilet and the crew's on a toilet for him to cast as a bunch of censors. We did no such thing. We fully backed him. We took care of him. We supported him. We raised him money. We got him legal defense, and he shit all over us. Well, guess what? It's over. Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. father gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, ultramethylene blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away. And as of 3:33, we are no longer the War Room, name I came up with, show I launched. We are now InfoWars Live, 3 to 6 p.m. So I want to move on from Owen, but we were just talking to the crew. They said, no, for like 4 years he doesn't talk to us and acts really weird. So it's like his brain got replaced back then. We just put up with this crap. Dude, I know you're not a infighter, neither am I, but I am not going to sit here and be accused of censoring anti-Trump news and any of this stuff. I never told him don't talk about Trump. I never told him don't talk about Israel. That is, I came in once when Nick Fuentes was a joke and said don't talk about Israel. That was a joke, folks. Nick said that. It was a joke. But, Rob, you're the news director here. Have you ever seen me? Because I hire people because I like them. I like the debates and stuff. Have you ever seen a censor?
No. You come in and you send stuff, but we all send stuff. You know, you're texting stuff. Hey, send this to the guys. This just broke. And so I send it to the guys. Hey, play this video. And sometimes it would get played and sometimes it wouldn't. I'm like, why are they not playing the video? I mean, at the end of the day, this is InfoWars created by Alex Jones. And it's not like... I mean, what are you trying to do? You're trying to win. Okay. And so you're looking at the things out there that are like, oh, this is winning. If we put out this, we're going to, you know, explain this to more people. This is winning. And so you're sending this stuff out. And then I guess the same spirit isn't there. At least it wasn't with Owen towards the end.
He bring the crew in here. I didn't say play this stuff when I gave it to him. I go, hey, here's this clip. This is interesting. Right. Give it to Owen.
Yeah.
But that's all he's got is I was over his shoulder. What does that mean?
I think it's that meme where you got your head, your shirt over your head.
The Rancor trainer.
Yeah, the Rancor trainer.
But listen, it's the betrayal. And it's the calling me up saying, well, if you're desperate, I'll stay there for more money. But I'm going to, it was just like really pimpish. So I was just like, dude.
That is how you described it from the beginning.
And then he goes on air and says, oh my God, I wanted to shake his hand and be nice. Here's his little puppy dog acting.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, if you want to go do your own thing, go do your own thing. There's no reason to, like, throw stones while you're leaving the building.
I can't describe how predatory he sounded on the phone. It was like talking to a demon. It was bad. And I talked to him like 15 minutes. I was like, hey, how do we make this right? What have I done wrong? I'm not going to talk about that. I'm done. But if you want to, you know, pay me more money and let me promote my new show, I'll be with you. I was like, no, thanks, dude. I was like, man, God. So we have these clips. I want to move on from Owen. I have right here his 1040s, all of it. And we can legally put this out since he's claimed he wasn't given a raise. If he wants to fight this, we'll do it. He's got all his little lawyers, all lawsuits he loves to file. There's people following on us, buddy. You know, we're really afraid of that. But he was given $80,000 in raises since 2020. For a total of almost $200,000 a year is his base pay, not to mention, and by the way, I called you yesterday. You compiled this, you and Blake Rowdy, with HR. So tell people the numbers here.
I don't have them in front of me, but in 2018, he got a raise to, I think, it was like 100 and I think 110,000 from whatever it was before that. And then in So the only issue is our records go back, our main records with the accounting go back to 2022 because that's when the bankruptcy was declared. So anything before that just doesn't, I don't know where it's at.
But currently it went from 110 to 180 plus.
Yeah, and that was in 2022. That's when that started because you could see what the bi-weekly rate was, and it was the same 2022, 2023, 2024, 2020.
And then all the bonuses.
Yeah. Their bonuses on
plus him promoting his own show and the sponsors he had, which he let him do. You ever heard of a network let somebody else have their own show and promote stuff?
No. We should ask primetime Alex Stein if Glenn Beck lets him do his a side show on top of the show he does.
Well, then he said over and over again, probably 20 times, I can't pay my bills.
Yeah.
When I know he has a lucrative deal because they came and offered me one with his ex-sponsors. And so he promotes that on us and makes big money off that.
Right.
I'm not sure of the number. I think it's like 20 grand a month. Want to do the math on that?
That's a lot.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. So
20 grand.
No, a month I do have the numbers right here.
240.
So the point is that go ahead, Owen, say it's not true. You went on air and said you've had a raise since 2018. That's a lie. So again. Who behaves like this? But I noticed it 2.5-3 years ago. He wouldn't even talk to me, and I asked the crew. They said, "Yeah, he doesn't talk to us." I mean, it was just. I'm surprised we put up with this.
Well, I like to remember the guy that stood up in Congress and shouted them down, and that's, you know.
Yeah, why do you think he put a video out this morning? Oh, I love InfoWars. It's been a great ride. What a nice, friendly guy if he did 5 hours and millions of viewers saying we're censors. Like I'm some whore that a pimp runs and I don't forget he just, you know, metaphysically broke our jaw. Like, it's funny. Funny to him. So, I mean, I just have no idea. Yeah, I mean, look, this is what he posts. Just put it back up there. Look at this narcissistic bullshit. Oh, yeah, you wish the best for InfoWars after you went on air and implied we censored you on Israel and Trump and all the rest of it when it was all a lie. And I was like, oh, I'm your friend. Don't attack. No, we're going to, buddy, because you attacked us. So go back to David Knight. 2019 or so, he puts out a tweet saying, I'm being censored by Alex Jones. I was busy anymore. I didn't even watch the show. And I go in and talk to him. He blows up at me. Had both his sons hired, huge paycheck, everything. And I went, where's the censorship? He goes, I'm not talking to you. Want me to fire him? I said, do it one more time. You're fired. And then one of the crew, finally he had something, uploaded the first hour of his show and not all three, and he goes crazy and says, I'm being censored again. Even by the time he said it, it was already uploaded. They messed up.
Yeah.
That happens here and there. Like, what, 1% of the time? What would you say?
It happens. And it's either, usually it's encoding error.
Yeah, the like, thing, because right.
it's a 3-hour show, so it takes a long time.
You walk off and it fails.
Yeah, you walk off and you see it fails, and then you got to start it again.
Imagine this world where you're just like, oh God, let me find something. Oh, finally, an encoder failed after a year. Oh, I've been censored. And I called him. He starts yelling at me. I said, "You're fired, dude. You're fired." And he goes, "Fuck you. Your family's going down. You're gonna get destroyed with these lawsuits." That's what he told me. Like hissing at me. And I'm like, I literally hired this guy when he was bankrupt in North Carolina, where it was, brought him here, was nothing but nice to him. He's like hissing at me, screw you, screw your family. And I went, well, at least I don't chew my fingernails down at the nub. That's what I told him. I shouldn't even said it, but he's literally just like hissing. You're going down. Oh, and I'm just like, dude, I don't even watch your show, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, why do you do this to me? I'm done. Everybody wants a big soap opera. You got one.
There was something else on there too. You would have him, you're like, hey, come on my show. And we could do, cross promotion. And he said something like, I don't want you coming on my show.
Yeah. Yeah. He put a thing out.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is they're given so much freedom. They've then got a manufacturer being oppressed. So, David had that heart attack, about like $110,000 on top of his paycheck. He's gone 6 months. He comes back. He goes, hire my other son. I hired his other son. We have a rule against nepotism, but I did it.
Yeah.
And again, this is just all about settling accounts right now. This is about, I'm a villain. I'm this master censor. But really what's happened is they're trying to cast me and the crew as villains when we've done no such thing. And again, you saw the interview, his show, he's like, he'd say, oh, God, I know Alex doesn't want me to criticize Trump. He'll lose his thing. Oh, Israel. Oh. But later, he didn't censor me. See how he makes it worse? Because he knows ours. Oh, God. None of that's true. And then he's like, no, I didn't say that. So he can play victim. That's not right, Rob. But to me, the depressing point is this is the collapse of civilization. Because people sociopathically look at other humans as if they're just things to exploit. That's why I'm mad. So let's go ahead. We've got other news to hit, but everybody's tuning into this to hear it. After Owen Schroyer staged his publicity stunt playing victim. And so, okay, dude, I'm not your victimizer. You victimized me, and you can piss up a robe if you think I'm going to sit here and take it, okay? You put your little videos, I love InfoWars, all that. No, you don't love InfoWars. You lied. You called me up and said, well, if you're desperate enough, increase my pay. And I went, I'm in a bankruptcy. I can't increase your pay. I'll do you a favor, and I'll host next week. No, man, just don't worry about it, dude. Thank you. Remember, I called you and I said, we're going to take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Owen well. Hopefully he comes out of this. And then I saw the show.
Tweeted that this morning earlier.
Yeah, before I started watching it, I was just like, whoa. I was like, wow. Wow. As if I'm this inanimate object, because I put up with his bullying. I put up with his arrogance. Just, out of sheer loyalty, he thought like, well, this guy will just be, he'll be my pawn. He'll be my minion. So let's play these clips. Here's Owen saying he hasn't gotten a raise in 7 years. And the last raise was what, 2022?
At least 2020. It could have been even earlier. We just couldn't.
And $80,000 of raises on top of a salary since then. Right?
Since 2018. Yeah.
Yeah. So $80,000 in increases, most of it, 4 years ago, and bonuses. And he's whining, I'm destitute. Poor me. Imagine the arrogance of a demonstrably false statement. But because he arrogantly swaggered around here, See, that's the thing. He took kindness for weakness. And so he swaggered around here for years. And so he thought, I'll just use these people. I'll use this crew. I'll use Alex Jones. I'll use them as censors, as villains to propel myself. Well, guess what? We're not your cannon fodder. We're not your slaves. And then the next clip is him at the end of a five-hour stream. Oh, he told you not to notice too much. And yeah, that's why I have Nick Fuentes on. And yeah, yeah. Jones works for Israel. Yeah. Well, the checks ain't ever come. And so, again, this is just the classic. And he's like, oh, no. He never censored me on that. No, he's just like, I understand why Alex is upset I'm bashing Trump. No, I simply said on air to him, we're upset about Trump. We want to get him right. But I think it's part of a debate, you know, what shows do, that we should support the good he's doing, like Kennedy wrecking Bill Gates right now, and attack the bad. That wasn't a censorship moment. That was me. I'm allowed to have free speech. I'm allowed to have my views. That's what David Knight would say to the crew. He's like, I heard Jones today disagreeing with me. I wasn't even watching the show, but he heard me say something he didn't like. He thought it was about him. So you have to understand, me talking about what I believe, me giving my views that's different than that censorship.
Well, and I think you look at this tweet that Trump put out, this truth, where he talks about, oh, I may have been duped by Operation Warp Speed. The information that Pfizer was showing me, he even talks about it. Owen says this is a defeat of the Trump administration instead of it's our victory, RFK's victory, for getting the information in front of Trump.
Which
and is, making him change mind.
Exactly. So as a substrata, you can see it as the defeat of Trump. Who cares? We're exposing the big poison factories. They're in total panic mode right now.
Right.
But that's the spirit, which I've noticed on X everywhere. If you attack Trump, you get promoted. And I don't mean Elon's pissed at Trump. I get that. But it's all the algorithm feeding it. No. They're banning mercury in the shots. They're banning the mRNA. Kennedy's about to release a report. Trump's getting ahead of it. So I guess it is a defeat of Trump, whether it was premeditated or he got screwed. It doesn't matter. It's not about Trump. It's about we're having devastating historical victories against him, Rob.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this... He just last week he was talking about how great Warp Speed was.
Yeah,
so, just last week, and now he's going. He's signaling a 180.
And it's not just Owen. I did reports yesterday. They got millions of views, and I'm like, oh great, Trump's turning on Warp Speed. He knows he got given fake info because they admit they hid the death data.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story.
They just pulled it out,
and I saw
if
the
you
bot.
Died, you
I,
got removed.
I saw the bots. You're covering up Trump's complicity. No, he just exposed himself. Which means they're capitulating. Call it a defeat, whatever. The thing is the UN and Pfizer. Mm-hmm. We want to stop the next lockdown. We're having victory. It isn't about Trump. Can people get that?
You know, I guess it depends on how you're getting paid, because there are some people getting paid to attack Trump that used to be quote-unquote conservative.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah. And I think they would argue any way they can that, you know, it's like, yeah, if you're getting paid to look for anything negative, you can find all kind of negative.
Well, stuff. You know, you were part of those meetings when they tried to give me $50 million a year to sell out 7 years ago. Remember the D.C. and all that?
Yeah.
And that was the richest guy in the world, and we didn't do it. But most of these people just take the money.
Oh, yeah. And they're not getting that much, I'll tell you that.
I look at politicians that are impure, and I say, who's moving the ball the most?
Right. Because nobody's perfect. God, at the end of the day, nobody's perfect.
Well, we've had our crew targeted before.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask him if he was here. I'd say, Owen, have you been reached out to by an NGO or a group? Did you get a little bit of money? And I'm not saying he did that. It's just happened to me. One of the few times this happened where I could talk about it, because it was not an off-record conversation, was in front of Henry Kissinger, Rothschild Group.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hartman, heard the call.
Yeah.
So, but that's happened many times. So, I'm not saying Owen did that. I just see this type of behavior, and I ask myself, how do you get somebody to screw over his own people like this? That's a bigger question. And again, folks, I'm not an infighter. Everybody knows that. If anything I ever told the crew was don't infight, don't get involved in fights. That's probably the only ever censorship I did was like, don't engage in infighting, right?
Yeah.
And I said you can do it if you want, but this is not what we have all these radio listeners and TV viewers and people that are like, who do you want to know about big issues?
Right.
This is not what we're doing. But we have to deal with what these people have done front and center. Because we can't let people feel like they got a free hand to just make up whatever they want about us. All right, so here's Owen. I don't even know which clip they grabbed. I saw it 4 or 5 times in the hour I watched. But I saw him in one clip say, I haven't seen this yet, well, I've been given a raise since 2018. Well, hold on, maybe that's wrong. Like, even a little proviso. No. And that's not true. And then the clip of him talking about, oh, no, caller, I wasn't ever censored on Israel. Dude, if we got a freaking hologram of Hitler in here, we'd have the top ratings. I'm not just chasing ratings. I want truth with the ratings. And, like, I don't like what Israel's doing or Zionism or any of that, but I also know in my historical research, Hitler was a bad guy. So the idea that, oh, I don't want people talking about Israel, it's completely preposterous. We talk about it constantly. But again, it has that cachet to do this. Here's the clips.
And again, I don't blame Alex for this, but I haven't had a raise at InfoWars since 2018. I haven't had a raise since 2018. Again, I'm not mad about that. It's never been about money for me, but can you imagine? I mean, folks, the cost of living has about doubled since 2018. Okay. So, I mean, I'm basically just living paycheck to paycheck at this point. And I don't complain. It's not a complaint. I'm just telling you.
It's about fundraising.
So this is, if somebody wants to make it about money, oh, he's going to have more money. This is not about money. If it was about money, I would have made it about money a long time ago. I haven't gotten a raise at InfoWars since 2018. I believe that's the last raise. I mean, I could go double check, but it's been a while. Believe me, I do good enough, and I live paycheck to paycheck, and I do fine. I'm not complaining. I live a comfortable life, but it's like I can't. There's no money for me to put into savings, and so that's just the difference. It's not like, I mean, again, I hadn't gotten a raise since like 2018. Now everything has basically doubled in cost since 2018. So what had some space for saving or extra stuff, that's not there anymore because of the new economy. The economy is horrible. The housing market is horrible. I even crunched the numbers. I would have been better off renting. See, this is the signs where you know you're in a bad market and a rigged market. Well, first of all,
for example,
are you under the impression that I've had to censor my Israel coverage because I was at InfoWars?
It felt like Alex had... He wanted to keep a positive spin with Trump.
Well, okay. I would say I didn't really censor anything. You know, I would say that I took into account that Alex didn't like all the Israel stuff, but I still covered it, you know, as I saw it. But I probably didn't spend as much time on it. Maybe. I don't know. You know, as far as the negativity about Trump thing, I always called it as it was about Trump, and that's why he was always coming into the studio and saying I was negative or a pessimist or all this other stuff. So, I don't know. Now, look, I'll tell you this. You know, Alex told me on the phone that it's nothing but winning coming up and InfoWars is, you know, going to get saved and Trump's going to do – so I don't know. I don't know. I can't bank on that. I don't know that. You know, I wanted to go down with the ship. I that was my goal. I told him that. You know, that's, but I can't bet on that anymore. I can't bet on that anymore. And so, so that's why I'm not betting on that. I'm betting on myself now.
So we 100% have multiple backers to hire the crew, backup networks, everything. He already knows that. He quit the day the Onion fake bought this in November last year. He cut and run. And you hear this person, and you heard Owen right there. Alex doesn't like the Israel stuff. That's not true. I made films about the USS Liberty decades ago. I covered it. I have only said on my show, which people take as censorship, I think we should cover everything. Because every time I talk about China, everything they're doing, I get to think, oh, you're covering for Israel. No, China is as big a threat or bigger than Israel. So I don't just cover one issue. So again, Owen, right there. Well, you know, he doesn't like us covering the Israel thing. Did I ever come in here and say don't cover Israel?
No. I mean, you did. There are times where you said, you know, it's the Israel show or the anti-Israel show. And, you know, but you never came in and said, don't talk about this. Don't do this. Like, those are comments you would make out there, you know, but you were never going in and saying, you can't cover this story. You can't cover this story.
No, it was my opinion on air.
Exactly.
It's saying simply, can we cover Israel 45 minutes a day? Which is normal.
Well, no, I don't think that's normal. Most places you'd be told what you're covering and what you're not covering.
No, I know, but I wasn't ever making them do it.
Right, but I'd say that's what
I was like. I was like, can we cover human cloning? Can we cover AI? Can we cover? I would say it on air. I would even never talk to Ellen. He said I would come in and tell him on air. No, I didn't do that. I wasn't even upset about constant Israel coverage. I was just like, actually, the only time I ever told Owen to, like, knock it off was like, dude, you spent months on being in prison. Everybody knows they're bored. That's why your numbers are way down. If you get a bigger audience on other issues, then when you whine about that, you'll be bigger. That's it. You're here for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just crazy.
Oh, look at that. Abruptly kicked off show. He said he quit.
Well, the New Republic, the Democrats say I kicked him off. Oh, I saw the stuff, and no one knew exactly what he was doing. That's the point, Rob. He knew leaving it all nebulous is what he was doing.
Well, and other people have quit here before, and it was never like, oh, we're going to give you a week sign-off show. Yeah, you know, it's like, you quit.
Well, no, I mean, it was like, well, if you need a favor, I'll do a week for you. I was like, no, thanks. And he runs on air. God, I quit, but he's censoring me. I wanted to shake his hand. He doesn't want to shake my hand. He's a coward. The guy hates me so much he shakes around me. I should have known. I mean, I knew it years ago. I was like, dude, this guy acts like he literally acts like the lawyers that have sued me in person. Like, he just goes, when he gets around me, he's just, oh. I was like, I mean, I don't know what Owen's problem is, man, but he's got problems. Well, he's going to get what he wants now. So I'm not going to sit here and be his whipping boy. I'm not going to play his villain.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about Power Plant, for example. So Methyl Drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power Plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high-intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in Power Plant and then combining it with Methyl Drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in Power Plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in Power Plant, according to studies. That's Mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus four other ingredients with this.
It's true. And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is a nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Lazy. into the rest, stop for the dead, and end it all in gold and blue and gray.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, good.
So, I'm going to move on from Owen now, but I'm not going to take his lies lying down. It's not happening. It's not going on. He wants a fight. He's got one. Absolute horse crap that we ever censored him. Absolute horse crap. I told him what to cover. I had my own opinions on my show, which is an open debate. That's what we do. And it's just a publicity stunt and it's sick. And so I would wish Owen all the best, except he attacked our organization. And so I'm glad he's gone. And I was just waiting for him to reveal himself. I mean, Rob, didn't I want to move on from this, but did I not tell you a couple years ago? I said, just watch. We're going to let him play out.
Yeah, he was, he changed. I don't know if it was before going to jail or coming back from jail or that whole process. Cause that was like started in late 2021 when all that started. And, it is an info war, and sometimes the info war gets personal. It gets, it can come after you. It came after me, at times. So shit, I got arrested in 2012.
And so.
No, 2009. And yeah.
But I mean, you didn't puss out and lie about your people, man.
No. Well, I mean.
They say snitches get stitches. I don't want anything bad to happen to Owen. I just like, dude, we're not here to be your toilet. I mean, it's like we loved you. That's why you're getting all this hate back, man. Like, be like your mama makes you breakfast. You walk over and break her jaw, Daddy ain't going to be happy.
And this was, this is, InfoWars has been consistent since I've been here about what the mission is and what we're going after and what we're trying to prove. And it's never wavered. And people come and go because it's, it's like this. There's a lot of asleep people out there. And, early Alex Jones was waking people up and getting them to like see what's going on. And then our mission has changed in a way that has become more like now we're getting more hyper focused in what we can do to make things better. And not everybody, like once they become awake, then they like want to delve into everything and get into the minutia of everything and they get lost in the minutia instead of just realizing that, the job is to wake more people up and we get a critical mass.
And where in the Trump admin where good is happening, can we do greater good?
Sure.
I mean, Kennedy literally has rebellion. They're the secret documents. They have them. They covered up the COVID death. Trump's turned on the deep state. I mean, this is spectacular. And it's like no coverage of it because we're just busy bitching at Trump all day.
Look at the satanic guy who dresses up in satanic gear who resigned. In a little tantrum way. We're not able to help the American people. These people were setting up policies to force vaccinate everyone in the country. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, so that's my issue.
And we've run these people off.
I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
I mean, where is the celebration right now of what Kennedy is doing? I mean, this is spectacular, Rob. You got a bunch of examples of it coming up.
I do. And I got a bunch of examples of even like it's kind of Doge going into the states and finding stuff. People are finding stuff all over the place. They found $5 billion just being used on fake employees in Michigan. They just create a fake employee. They collect their money. And it's like a business. It's like a business to these people, just ripping people off.
And that's why they're so upset we're doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
So instead they're like, oh, well, let's just have them in fight with each other. Let's just have them, do this.
And you have to find all this information. You have to build a case. But we definitely need to see indictments, Pam Bondi. So I hope you're not sitting on your laurels.
They got the grand juries open.
Yeah.
They didn't open them before.
Right.
And I'm not saying everything's handled. I'm just saying this is different.
It's a process and it's moving. And that's what we want to see.
Well, but we're censors. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
and then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, thealexshow.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexshow.com. It's InfoWars Live, 3 to 6 p.m. with your host, Rob Dube. But I got to say, the things happening are very, very exciting. And I'm going to let you take over. Mike Adams is coming up. But I wanted to come in here today and just get it on record. The attempts that went on, the exploitation that went on, the attempts to claim we were censors and did things we didn't do and frame us as villains that were engaged in all this activity. It's just outrageous. And, you know, watching part of the show, Owen did 5 hours of it. I was sent clips too. It was just absolutely horrible. All couch. Well, you know, I know he doesn't want me attacking Trump, so I'm leaving. Never told him that. Like, it's just like meant to literally play victim as a PR stunt. So he's probably very happy. He's probably sitting there with his turtle and his daughter, you know, here in South Austin, just sitting there like, boy, I got publicity. Yeah, you're going to get publicity, man, because you're Benedict Arnold. And so I love how he posts that thing. Oh, I'm friends. I'm nice. Come out and admit you lied. Come out and admit we never censored you. Come out and say you're sorry. No, you're not going to do that. So that's fine. And so you just go ahead and enjoy yourselves and see what happens. Because, again, this crew never censored you. This crew never did anything to you. I did nothing to you but back you. So you want to play victim? Well, guess what? You're in the real world right now. That's some good dead air, Rob.
Oh, you want me to take over?
No, I'm gonna have you take over. I gotta write headlines for my own show.
It's just
that, you know, and God forbid, once you're on, I might find a news clip and bring it to you. God, that's it.
Yeah,
that's all he had. Like, Jones came and brought the crew a clip. Hey, man, Owen might want this. Oh my God, you're censoring me, Jesus, for Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, that's it.
See, I didn't want to interrupt that.
No, I mean, I'm serious. It's like literally like, he was over my shoulder. It was a news organization. He, you know, once a week brought me an article. Oh God, I'm so pure. Oh, finally someone censored me. I'm a baby.
See, we could change that meme now. You can say, me trying to do my show. And
what's going to happen is, I love how he said, I saw a clip. He goes, I just want to do news. I'm not allowed to do news. You're not allowed to do news. I want him to cover news. And so he'll go and do his Trump whining event. Look at that. Dead to me. Alex Jones calls former Force host demon-possessed.
These people are going to love this. They're going to keep...
Oh, Owen's going to get a big boost off of this.
Yeah.
Which is great for him. But people will know he's not with us. And that's the most important thing. The real thinkers will understand what's going on. So, Rob...
They love that. I tell you what. They're gonna take this stuff and run with it.
Well, he started it.
Yeah.
He's getting the publicity he wants.
I too think it's funny that he said he's going to do 3 hours of news when he would come in here and I think every show for the last month was bitching about, you know, the bills and the standard of living and people can't afford houses, you know. And here's my comeback to that. The environment has changed. All right. Everybody's carrying around supercomputers. Okay. Everything's moving faster. You know, when we used to have to wait to go watch a movie at the movie theater, now you can just snap your fingers and get 1,000 movies at the tip. So it's a different world. You have to learn how to live differently in that world. And the fact that you're younger, I think is even easier. You've lived in this technological world from more of your beginning than having to like adapt to it after you've learned how to read a map, for instance. You know, there's a lot more advantages, I think, to the people who were born earlier. And That's not a problem. You have to learn how to live differently. You have to share your ideas and not be, you know, but if you're going to be negative all the time, the negativity is going
to
come to you.
I just wake up and this guy won't talk to me for years and I'm this villain censoring him. And I'm like, dude, I ain't the villain. Fuck you. Like, what the fuck is your problem, dude? What the, like, I'm the villain, the crew's villains? We don't deserve this, man.
No.
And I predicted this morning before we went live, I said, he'll act like he's a buddy. He did that. Oh, I don't know why you're mad. I just said you're censoring me. God, if you want to attack people, just be honest, man, you turd. Look, we'll never talk about Owen as best I can again, unless he tees up more shit. And look, knock yourself out, dude. I ain't afraid of nothing. So you came for problems, you came to the right place. Looking for a fight. I know you're the toughest guy around politically. Just come on. Let's go. Because I'm done. I'm done playing villain for people when I'm not a villain. In fact, I wanted to play that clip today. We didn't play. Can we pull up Scarface, say goodnight to the bad guy? Say goodnight to the bad man? Because I'm not a bad man. I could have sold out the globalist 50 times. But it's so fun to fight for humanity. I couldn't even imagine selling out. But that's the goal, the grail. The holy grail is to say, we're fake, Rob. Say it again. I went and talked to Harris Long there today. I walked in and said, have I ever told you what to say? He goes, God, no. I'm surprised you never came in here. Nothing against the shows. I don't watch much of it. These are good hosts. I believe them. Good. Put a show out.
You're usually getting ready or on the phone. That's what you're doing.
But my point is that have you on sponsorship, I'm like, hey, why don't you add it was an extra percent off? Like, why don't you read the whole ad? But that's it. Like, you see the ad we wrote? Like, did you know it was one get one free? You just said we got this for sale? I mean, I guess, but how is that censorship as me as the boss to have such light touch, you know?
Well, and I think that might be some of the issue, like because it's so light, because we don't micromanage people, because everybody else is working, then, you know, people, when you add suggestions or say something, then it's like, what? Because it's so foreign. By the way, 25% off all apparel at InfoWars at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, back this up. Play the whole scene. Because this is how I feel. Go ahead and roll it. Here it is.
I'm leaving you. I don't need this shit.
I don't know what, yeah. I'll take it home.
Let her go. Let her go, man. Another quaalude, you're going to love me again. It's okay, man. It's okay. We're looking at it. You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what I make you? Good? You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Me, I don't have that problem. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. The last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
So he put up with all his arrogance and all his activity. He thought he used his crew, this institution, a total attack. We're the Alamo on fire to shit all over us. And that's why That's why I'm going after him. This is wrong. This is wrong. To call me up and say, if you're desperate, give me more money. I'll work for you, but I'm going to promote my show. I guess if I give a shit, he has some successful show. I wish he did. It's just like I was trying to make his show successful. I'm sitting there listening to this, and I got a tear. I called you up, and I called the producers up, and I said, we're going to be nice. He's flipping out. I'm going to take the high road. And then the show started. And then I saw what he said. Did I not call you and say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end, that was it. We're going to take the high road.
But the high road now is the road of lies. Because he's accused us of things we didn't do. So we sit here, and he's like, oh, this is great. I'm getting publicity. Yeah, you'll see how it works out for you. Rob, tell us what you got coming up.
Well, I've got a few videos that we're going to look at where they're finding hundreds of billions of dollars, billions of dollars. Just, you know, the homeless industry in California, billions of dollars, zero accountability. They're just giving out money. Just like, basically,
I
just like USA.
Jasmine Crockett talking like a white bread Stepford wife, and then she does this fake ghetto talk. These are real videos. You seen these?
No, I haven't seen that.
And we got the famous Hillary one. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm at the cover today.
I mean, and that's how these people are. They're chameleons. I like this, the Grace Act. Cause right now, if you look at the, vaccination, well, you know, when you have kids, you got to worry about your vaccination, exemptions. If you don't want to get your kids poisoned to get them into school. But, the Grace Act aims to restore religious exemptions to student vaccination requirements in all 50 states. Right now, I think West Virginia, you have to get the vaccines. It's West Virginia and one other state where you have to get every vaccine.
And Kennedy's going after him.
Right.
But imagine knowing, like, he took past behavior. I was trying to be nice to him. You think he would get this response?
No, I don't think he was going to, but especially if you listen to your rant and I think the third hour, I don't think he expected that.
Oh, what did I say then?
Oh, you did a say goodnight to the bad man, but like 100 times better than what that was. It was a good rant. I don't know if you guys have it. You guys probably don't have it, but that was.
Well, I only take betrayals so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we did nothing to him but kiss his ass. And that actually we created the monster. We created this prima donna narcissistic monster.
Well, he did do some good things.
Well, I challenge Owen. I challenge Owen to come down on the show tomorrow at high noon and debate me live on air. Let's see if he'll do it.
Oh.
I'll do. He's such a big man. He's so powerful. Why run? As Yoda says.
Let's see Raw Story post that.
He's so powerful. Why run? Come debate me noon tomorrow. The InfoWars Studios. The censorship headquarters, the Netanyahu command base. And I'll have a direct neural link to Netanyahu. Netanyahu will be debating Owen. Owen, the Visigoth warrior, god chief of the Germanic tribes, facing the messianic Jew, Alex Jones, in total battle.
The winner gets all the shekels.
You invented the tinfoil yarmulke.
I did. I fashioned that to his head. And actually, what I was trying to do, because I knew he was in a kind of a pissy mood that time you came. It was that last time you came in. Or no, it was the time before that. And I said, oh, all right, let me go. And so I gave him I said, this will lighten the mood. And it actually did. He did a good little rant as the Groypler.
By the way, that's a joke. I'm not under any eyes control. That's a joke.
Oh, we're not getting Jew money?
I haven't seen the checks yet. We're getting the methylene blue money, though.
Most people are using it. And if you listen to some of these ads, people are having amazing, amazing results with it.
All right. Well, I'm going to end this. I think we should go out to break, though, with Jasmine Crockett, accent before and after.
Yeah.
And then let's air that funny airplane clip that's so hilarious. And then you've got the mayor of Minneapolis, who's been replaced in the nomination with a Somali. Who's the only, they're only waving Somali flags, like no American flags.
It's ridiculous.
And it just, the groveling is hilarious. Let's air a couple of those. But again, it's like Hillary and Michelle and Obama and Kamala Harris. They talk with their real accents. Hillary out of Illinois, Michelle out of Illinois, all of them. But when they get in front of black people, can you imagine if I went and spoke at a black group, which I've done before, and I said, hello, everybody, how you doing today? People would flip out. But when Jasmine Crockett, who talks like a white girl from North Houston, you know, Sugarland does, it's like, well, that's okay. And then once you hear her talk in her own voice, nothing against a black woman's got a ghetto voice, that's great. Right. It's like so fake. You imagine if I got in front of an audience, like I give a speech in England and, you know, all over the world. I didn't get up and say, hello, everyone. I'm Alex Jones. Thank you for having me today. It's good to speak to you. Thank you.
Now, you did that one time with Piers Morgan, which was legendary.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I sleep very comfortably at night.
But I was making a joke. So
yeah, exactly.
This is the funniest. So play the new Crockett Club and then play the Hillary airplane compilation and a few others, because this is how phony these people are. And then he takes over, and then Mike Adams coming up in 40 minutes here on the live feed, InfoWars Live, 3 to 6 p.m. Foreman of the War Room. Here it is.
I want y'all to know that every day that I walk in those halls, regardless of whatever rhetoric they put out about me, I am a very serious lawmaker.
I'm tripping, I'm sliding, I'm riding through the back like mustard on a beat, bro.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it.
Can I get you something?
By the way, I like Crockett. If she wants to go on a date, I'm ready. But
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive. Oh.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
Oh, good. He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right. Would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine.
And you all helped us win in 2020 and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack. Chump don't want to help. Chump don't get the help.
Say can't hang. Say seven up.
Jive ass dude don't got no brains in here.
This is a Minnesota mayor voted out for the new Somali leader, trying to grovel, but it didn't work too well. This is Owen trying to stage that he's been censored for publicity. He's getting the publicity he wants. Of course, it won't age well, Owen. Keep laughing. Keep laughing. Love you. Dude.
We are back. Alex Jones is going to take care of his show, get the headlines done. And I just want to let you guys know, since we are literally only funded by you out there, right now for a limited time, we have 25% off all apparel at the Alex Jones store. So the best sellers include the blacked out InfoWars shirts. It's kind of the murdered out versions. They're kind of darker. The Gulf of America shirt. I've got one. You should get one, too. We got Alligator Alcatraz, which they're trying to destroy. I think they might even be destroying it now. Tinfoil hat and obedience to God circle star hat. Plus, you get 40% off all knives and silver coins, including the limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger and the Midnight Rider limited edition silver coin. And those coins are collectibles. They're not considered investments because we do put a little bit of a markup on them, and that comes back to us, which keeps us rolling here. So the sale's going to end this week. You've got the rest of the week to get onto it. 25% off all apparel store-wide and 40% off all knives and silver coins. That's at the alexjonesstore.com. They're showing you the examples right there. Oh, the mystery decal bundle. I guess you order that and you get a bunch of stickers, a grab bag of stickers. So there they all are. You can check all that out, thealexjonesstore.com. Let's see. We got about 2 minutes left. And let's just go to a newscast here. Guys, this is one of the Pritzker clips. This is the 30-second Pritzker clip, 49, clip 49. This is J.B. Pritzker saying, we don't want no help, even though 54 people were shot over Labor Day weekend. Here it is.
In Chicago over the weekend, at least 54 people were shot. This is just over Labor Day weekend, 7 killed. Several of the incidents were mass shootings with multiple victims at a single scene. In one instance, a teenage girl was hit with a stray bullet. The violence comes as President Trump threatens to send federal agents and National Guard troops to Chicago to quell the crime there, despite objections from the city's mayor, Brandon Johnson, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Unfortunately, Joe, this is not unusual in Chicago, which has been plagued by gun violence for generations, not years, for generations.
54 people shot this weekend in Chicago, 7 killed. I mean, those numbers just keep piling up.
And here's J.B. Pritzker probably walking around with a lot of security over right on that little waterfront area in Chicago where I think they have the giant bean, the silver looking chrome bean. But here he is dismissing the fact that, oh, people, we're a big city. We have crime. That's just the way it is. It's not because we've gotten rid of the police and let the criminals back out on the streets and we don't prosecute anyone. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, you know, we're a big city because we just can't have a civilized big city. We have to have 54 people shot and 7 killed on Labor Day weekend. Here he is.
You're going to hear people, especially this past weekend, 54 shot, 7 dead.
Yeah.
They're going to say the city's not safe. Would you ask your friends to ride the L after midnight or after, you know, 9 o'clock at night even to come down to the city from O'Hare?
Look, big cities have crime. Look. There's no doubt about it. But let's just pay attention to what President Trump is doing targeting Chicago. He's overlooking red states that have much higher crime rates.
It's Trump's fault. You see, it's Trump's fault that there's all this crime. Not the Soros DAs, not the blue city mayors. They had a bunch of people shot in Memphis over the weekend, you know, and it just gets crazier and crazier, and these guys want to blame Trump for it, even though Trump has only held 2 political offices, president 45 and president 47. I'm going to come back and we've got more on the looting of America. I just want to show you some small examples of the looting that's going on, but you know, we're catching them, so let's catch them and put them in jail.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does 3 droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle.
father gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pumpkin.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, ultramethylene blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it around SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fun little fact. Back before we started the War Room and David Knight Show, which then became American Journal, we used to have, it was InfoWars Live 3 to 5, and Alex was just doing his show, and we had the nightly news. That I think started in 2011. And one day Alex came in and said, because I guess he had just gotten this new Obama thing. It was about, had to do with healthcare. It was a health thing Obama was trying to put through. And he's like, someone should be on the air live now reading this. He came into my office. I said, all right, let's fire up the other studio. Let's go live. And we started going live, and we read it. And I said, all right, we're going to do this tomorrow. And we used it as a spot to train people. So we were training people, getting them going. And Owen actually appeared on a few of those shows. I was looking up some of them. And I even interviewed Owen for the first time on that show. So long history here at InfoWars. But let's get back to the news. RFK Jr. blasts CDC for suggesting abortion is a great health achievement. It's on InfoWars.com. And he said today on the CDC's website right now, they list the 10 greatest advancements in medical science. One of them is abortion. So killing babies is a medical achievement. You know what I think they meant though? I think what the CDC means is the harvesting of the baby's organs. That's the medical achievement because that's where they make all their money from. Not the CDC, but places like Planned Parenthood and the body part merchants out there that claim they're going to get Lamborghinis by trafficking in so much body parts from little babies. And referring to the recognition of family planning services, under which includes abortion. Another is fluoridation. So putting a poison in your water, a toxic waste, a byproduct of the aluminum phosphate and nitrate fertilizer industry, that which is distilled and then put in your water to the tune of 9 gallons an hour is a health achievement. And it's not even fluoride. Not a lot of people know this, but originally in the 1940s, the studies that came out of Texas, actually West Texas, they looked at two communities. One had no fluoride in their water, and the other one had calcium fluoride, CAFL, which is not the fluoride. That's not even the fluoride in your toothpaste. It's not even calcium fluoride or the fluoride you get at the dentist. That's sodium fluoride, which is in rat poison. And then what they put in your water is hydrofluorosilicic acid, which the only reason they can call it fluoride is because it has three fluorine ions in it. If you look at the chemical compound name with, you know, all the compounds in it, the chemical compound as it's listed out with all, you look at them and it's got three Fs in it, among other things. And that's what they put in your water. And the tanks that they put this in, you guys might even be able to find the fluoride tanks, the hidden video that I shot years ago. There's an MSDS diamond like this. And up here in human reactivity, it's 4, which is the most dangerous type. It means it could kill you if it touches you. Okay. It's poison, but they put it in your water and they tell you it's for your teeth, but there's no dose control. So you could literally overdose on fluoride and have fluoride poisoning by drinking the tap water. That's why you're supposed to filter your water. So that was the other thing they listened. And then the other one, of course, is vaccines. So that's the problem with the CDC. They think dumbing you down and poisoning you and cutting up your baby's body parts. Oh, there it is. That's hydrofluoric acid. It's hydrofluorosilicic acid. So it's actually the diamond on the left. I'm sorry. It's on the left hand side. That's human reactivity. But if you look at your old here right there, if you look up your old, what they used to call the MSDS material data safety sheet, now they call it an SDS safety data sheet. I don't know why they changed the name, but they changed the name at some point. But if you look up the MSDS or SDS on hydrofluorosilicic acid, you can read the compound name and go from there. All right. So that's why I think it's a good thing that he's trying to get rid of the director, the current director of the CDC, which is another vaccine minion. Here's an article that Dr. Vinny Pashrad seemed like a fitting choice by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to become the chief scientific officer of the FDA. He had criticized COVID vaccines and what's called Dr. Anthony Fauci, a scientist cursed by narcissism. Prasad's past criticisms with some rare disease treatments also alarmed biotech executives, and his one approach to one company angered Maha supporter in the Senate. So they want to get rid of this guy, and he lobbied to bring him back. Here's a picture of him. So if people are not aligned with the president's vision and secretary's vision to make our country healthy again, then we will gladly show them the door, said White House spokesman Carolyn Leavitt. So we're starting to see the winds, though. I think Kennedy, when he had that meeting with Trump last week, and they were talking about the we're going to soon know the cause of autism. And it's now September. You know, don't be like Green Day and go to sleep. You're awake now. And let's see what this report says. I already told you the spoiler alert. The spoiler alert is it's going to be the vaccines. It's going to be the vaccines. In fact, I have a video on that. I haven't looked at the video list for this one yet, but let's see. Oh yeah, 56. Let's go to 56 real quick, guys. You can pull that one up and let's roll. So it's about the Hep B vaccine. And they give this vaccine to babies who are just born because, you know, how do you get hepatitis B from anal sex, unprotected anal sex, or, you know, sharing a needle with somebody? Because that's what newborn babies do. So that's why we have to give them this shot in the hospital. And if we don't, then we have to, like, you know, look at the parents funny and maybe call CPS on them. That happens. So here's this video.
20% increase. Of what, you may ask? There was a study that was covered up by the CDC that showed a 1,135% increase in autism with kids that got the hepatitis B vaccine. Do you know when they get the hepatitis B vaccine? I'll tell you. They get it right when they're born, within an hour or two. Why do they get this vaccine, you ask? It's to eliminate STDs. Unless your child is coming out the womb looking for strippers, I don't think it's necessary. RFK Jr. revealed this today, or yesterday, maybe. This is something I've known for a really long time. However, now they're going to dig deeper into it. And as a mom of a child on the autism spectrum, who I guess it could have come from the hepatitis B, but it happened at 18 months after his MMR. The fact that this stuff is actually getting looked into is absolutely incredible. It's something I've been fighting for 9 years. And when, not if, when they find the link, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits.
And I've interviewed a lot of parents, a lot of doctors who have kids on the spectrum, and they all noticed it right after, a few days after their vaccines. They go in there for their wellness check. That's what they call it. The wellness check is just a ploy to get you to come in and give your baby shots. They don't care about the baby's weight unless it's really low. And if you're feeding your baby, it's not going to be low. And all the measurements, that's just to get you in the door. You know, that's like, you got any questions? You know, it's your first baby. You don't know anything. You know, you don't talk to your parents. You know, you go to the doctor. Don't worry. We're going to give them these shots. We're going to give them these shots. Don't worry. But yeah, the hepatitis B, that was done. That study was done by, I think, Dr. Brian Hooker, was the whistleblower on that. And he was from the CDC. And that was years ago. You know, and it was really increased in black boys more than anybody, getting that hepatitis vaccine right when they're born. And then the MMR came out, and that's when a lot of people noticed it in kids later, the MMR. Because you're not going to notice as a baby's born if they're exhibiting autistic symptoms at their second day or first day of life. But 18 months, now the kid's not looking at you. Now it's got this glazed look. So it's really sad, but it's good to see that this information is coming out, and it's good to see that we got Trump to start admitting it. So he wants to see, Trump demands pharmaceutical companies release COVID drug success rates. And he's looking at he wants to see the real numbers, not the numbers they showed him. The data that they tried to hide for 75 years, which is, people died, we excluded them from the study, because they didn't finish the study, so therefore, you know, it's like this. It's like they would say, there's no problems with the vaccine because we don't count you as fully vaccinated till 2 weeks after your second dose. So if you die after your first dose or before 2 weeks after your second dose, well, you're not fully vaccinated, so therefore we can't count you as being vaccinated. Just that right there should make you go, maybe I'm being lied to. All right, let's get into this. Got about 14 minutes left in this segment. Then we're going to bring on Mike Adams, and he's got Michael Yon as a guest. Let's go to this one. This is the Michigan Clip 55. Michigan GOP uncovers huge scandal of Democrats funding over 4,000 phantom jobs that do not exist. Okay, so they just make up people. It's actually 4,277 phantom jobs. And now they've got people looking at the budget and going, we can slash $5 billion. It's not even going to make a difference at all in the budget because these are just people that didn't exist. So this is going to make a difference in some people's lives. And I guess we'll see them howling here in a second, but here's that clip.
One of the biggest frauds we've uncovered in Michigan.
We've identified $5 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse in the state budget.
A lot of people are very, very concerned, have a budget that's under $80 billion, you must have had to gut a lot. Nope, we didn't have to gut, we just had to cut 4,277 phantom jobs.
You guys realize what a scandal this is? People should be prosecuted for taking money that was appropriated to hire employees and using that money for another purpose entirely.
Gender reassignment surgeries for prisoners. There are programs in there that don't even exist, and they're funding them. Like the Starbase, I mean, that was eliminated a few years ago, and they still fund it. We get rid of the arts and culture grants. They're real waste. I mean, you look at what they are. Glass blowing, barbershop quartets, all kinds of things, really. It's incredible the things they got away with calling it arts and culture grants. See, that's why Winnie Brinks doesn't want to get in the room with me, because I know the budget in and out. I don't know it as well as Ann. So they know if Ann and I get in the room with Sarah Anthony and Winnie Brinks, we're going to get a great deal because we know the budget better than them.
So there you see what's being uncovered in Michigan. And, you know, the arts grants, or those are, that's just like the tip of the iceberg. I mean, when you've got 4,000 phantom jobs that don't exist. And now here we go to California. A court-ordered audit of California homeless spending reveals billions missing with zero accountability. That's why these people do what they do, because they are getting paid out the wazoo to do this. They are making so much money, and nobody's looking at it, and nobody's counting it. So they go, well, I'll just buy myself a car and go on a bunch of vacations. And I don't even have to pay tax on this money because it can't be tracked back to me. So this is slush fund economics right here. And let's go to California ordered audit.
We knew that something was going wrong with the homeless system in Los Angeles. So in May of last year, we had an audit. The court made this audit report public, and it really is damning. It shows the city and LASA are in complete disarray in terms of how they are managing the homeless services in Los Angeles. The auditors have such a difficult time getting information. They couldn't even figure out the total budget. They estimated that the amount of services that they were able to really review was about $2.3 billion. There's more, but they can't find it. They would ask about the City of Los Angeles budget and who they contract with, and all of those pointed to LASA, the homelessness coordinator for the region. The city has no real way to determine how much money they spend on homelessness services, and LASA has no way of holding a lot of these nonprofits they contract with accountable. Sometimes LASA pays for services without even contract. And these contracts aren't even detailed in terms of what the service was provided and for how many people. They have really poor financial oversight. And at the end of the day, they can't determine whether or not the services are being provided. If they're being provided more than once and billed more than once, the city is paying for empty beds when people are going homeless on the streets. It really is a problem.
But, you know, we'll blame Trump. It's all Trump's fault. Because that's what happens if you go to California. You got Gavin Newsom running around blaming Trump for everything. Where's the money from the concert that they were supposed to give to people who had their homes burned down? Because you didn't do the basics of, like, keeping the reservoirs full and turning on fire hydrant pumps and having firemen placed in certain spots. Oh, no, no, we can't do that. We got DEI. No, we can't do that. We can't help the people that pay our salaries. No, no, we can't do that. Oh, we're not done. Here's $100 billion gone in 76 days under Biden. 76 days before Trump took office, the outgoing regime. Remember when they said, talking about throwing gold bricks overboard? Shovel nearly $100 billion of your hard-earned money to politically connected corporations for so-called green projects and bridges to nowhere. In 15 years, the same program only spent $40 billion. So in 76 days, they blew more than double of that. Here it is on Fox Business. Here's the clip.
$100 billion of taxpayer money was committed to businesses all across this country to mostly build bridges. This is the thing I think that should alarm taxpayers. Nearly $100 billion of taxpayer money was committed to businesses all across this country to mostly build bridges to nowhere. In 76 days, after President Biden lost the election and before President Trump was inaugurated, nearly $100 billion of taxpayer money was committed in just a rush, in a mad dash to get money out the door.
That is extraordinary.
That is extraordinary. I mean, in other words, they had money that they wanted to spend. They knew that they lost the election, so they just wanted to just get it out and allocate it to wherever they wanted, even though, I mean, these projects were not necessarily in line with what the American people wanted.
Exactly. A little over $40 billion was committed in the previous 15 years. The whole history of the Loan Program Office lent a cylinder is a famous example of that. But a little over $40 billion over 15 years and then $90 billion in 76 days. It's just appalling.
Wow.
They're spending your money like it's just confetti.
So let's look at this. This is from the U.S. Treasury Census Bureau Tax Policy Center. They get about total public funds available, $5.72 trillion. And we can't figure out how to spend it, where it goes. There was trillions that went down to accounts that we don't know. So there's a lot more that we could cut. And we still have plenty of money. We still have plenty of money. This is just federal, state, property taxes, and ad valorem auto taxes. It's amazing the amount of money we have. And we don't spend it correctly, and we let people just wholesale rob us. Case in point, here's Ilhan Omar. It's categorically false to call her a millionaire. Her net worth just reached up to $30 million, increase of 3,500% in 1 year. Most of the wealth comes from her husband's winery and venture capital firm. Oh, a venture capital firm. Oh, I wonder if there's any insider trading going on. I wonder if she's able to get information and funnel it to her husband, who's then got a lot of money at his disposal to make investments. I wonder if that's how that works. You think that's how you increase your net worth 3,500% in 1 year? You think that's how that works? I don't know. I'm stupid. I don't know how this would work. So. She of course says it's categorically false, and you can read through the article. It's on Washington Free Beacon. Check that out. You can just go through it and see and where she says, "Oh, we're only worth $51,000 at the end of 2023. Now we're worth then we're 2024 we're at $6 million. Now we're at $30 million. Ha 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 ha." And she's laughing all the way to the bank. And this is, oh, here it is right here. Here's J.B. Pritzker walking through Chicago right now, the streets of Chicago, saying there's no problem. There's Ilhan Omar walking through her district. You know, these are the water pipes in Flint that they can't fix. We can't fix these water pipes in Flint, even though it takes like $30 million. We can't fix that. No. We're just going to live like kings. So, and going back to those jobs, those 4,000 jobs in Michigan, people were asking, oh, Elon's sending us emails that we have to answer. That's bull crap. That's bull crap. Why did he do that? Well, it was what they call a human Turing test to see if humans actually existed where those jobs were. So we had a name, we have an email, we have a job, we have a payment that's going out each month. Let's see if that person is real and send them an email. Because what Elon's thinking is, because he's probably seen this before, they set everything up, they fill out all the fields, but then nobody's watching the email inbox. So all they have to do is send an email, and if they don't get a return email, well, that's probably a fake job. So we probably can go look at that and go, something's not right. If people haven't been showing up for work to be accounted for years, what's to stop data entry and direct deposit checks from going to who knows where to who knows who? And that's what's going on. And the fact that they say they can't track these things, I think is bull. I'm not saying DOGE is saying that, but I'm saying the Treasury Department saying we don't know where these payments are going. There's billions of payments, trillions of payments. They said this one account was just opened up and just flowing out, and we don't know where this money's going. We have no idea. But yet these people are living high on the hog. High on the hog. How long is this Lawrence Fishburne clip? I watched the first part of it, but I didn't watch the whole thing. the Lawrence Fishburne clip about the Matrix? You got it ready? All right. Let's go. This is from on InfoWars. Hollywood legend Lawrence Fishburne tells Neil deGrasse Tyson the Matrix was about Jesus Christ. So we'll play that and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah, that's two.
Okay, so hang on.
Yeah, that's two, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Who betrays the group?
Cypher.
Cypher!
Yes.
He betrays.
He's the Judas.
Who? He's Judas.
Yeah, he's the Judas.
He's Judas.
Yeah.
After the bejesus was scared out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't have Jesus in him.
He doesn't have Jesus in him.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. But let me keep going.
Keep going.
Okay.
If you can. Because you think you know the movie better than I do. Well, and you might.
I don't know.
You might. Let's go.
Here's the difference.
Let's go.
It's my favorite movie, and you've made 100 movies.
Right.
So.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right. So then, everyone sort of decides that he's the one.
He's the one.
Right. Right. When he's like pulling Trinity up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
As it comes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is the one.
I told you he is the one.
He is the one.
Do you believe it now, Trinity? And who's Morpheus? In the Christ mythology.
I know. I'm trying to.
He's the Baptist.
John the Baptist?
He's John the Baptist.
Oh. Because John the Baptist knows Jesus is coming.
Yes, he knows who
and
he is.
Sets everything up.
And he's been looking for him.
Yeah, he's been looking for him.
And when he meets him, he goes, I'm supposed to be baptized by you.
Well, there you go. You know, The Matrix came out at a time in like 99, I believe it came out. I remember watching that movie and going, you know, I definitely wasn't thinking of it like that. Like, is this guy Jesus Christ? Although you, by the time you get to the end, you're like, oh, Neo's the one. And, very interesting how now this, well, one, I think it's interesting that you got Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about Jesus Christ. And Lawrence Fishburne seems to be a believer. Be interesting to see a little more on that. Let's end with this. Last article, and then we give it up to Mike Adams with Michael Yon coming up next for the last hour here of InfoWars Live 3 to 6. Four FD candidates have died suddenly right before a key state election. Election officials are racing to print new ballots after the sudden and unexpected deaths of four AFD candidates right before the North Rhine-Westphalia votes. They were not excluded. Bloomberg says it was Reinberg, Schwarte, and Bad Lipspring. Statistically, almost impossible that these people would die. Now, was it the vaccine?
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandthestore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? A lot of you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support. Natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle recovery aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and energy balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens. No caffeine crashes. Toxin defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption. Improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
Infowars.com. I'm Mike Adams filling in today, and it's going to be an interesting third hour. We're going to shift gears here strongly and cover what's happening globally with geopolitics with my special guest coming up, Michael Yan, who will be joining us live from Japan. And Michael Yan, as you know, deserves credit as the person to really sound the alarm over the planned invasion, the architecture of the invasion of the United States that took place on an epic scale during the Biden administration. And the key architect of that invasion was none other than Alejandro Mayorkas, who I believe should face arrest and prosecution. And as much as we have seen a lot of talk about deep staters and traitors potentially being arrested or prosecuted or exposed, I haven't heard the Mayorkas name come up very much, and I think that that's a mistake. I know that Mayorkas is a high IQ individual, and I believe, it's my belief, that he was given orders to organize a massive invasion of the United States under the Biden administration, which did succeed. And the purpose of it was to then give the invaders the legal right to vote in elections, which would ensure Democrats a never-ending majority. And it would ensure the complete defeat of Republicans for every election to come. That plan was thwarted by the Trump campaign and now the Trump administration, which is fighting back very hard and very effectively by doing things like shutting down USAID, which was, of course, a money laundering, money funneling operation to give funds to Democrat parties and NGOs that were involved in bribery and kickbacks and paying off judges and paying off whoever in order to carry out widespread election fraud. Everything from ballot stuffing, ballot harvesting, ballot mules, you name it. So that plan failed. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And that's why I'm very glad that Trump is saying that it's time to end the electronic voting machines. It's time to end most mail-in ballots, only preserving that for mostly for veterans or people who have other substantial reasons to be far from their home voting district. It's also time to have paper ballots and to hand count the ballots and make sure the ballots can be publicly audited and seen and viewed by the public instead of having all this secrecy, like in the middle of the night, we're just going to, you know, run a million ballots until we get the Joe Biden numbers we want, you know. Everybody go home. There's a water leak. Don't worry about it. That's what we were told. It was all a fraud. It was all completely rigged in 2020. But also in the midterm elections, it's been rigged. Even the 2018 midterm, those elections were rigged, especially in places like California. That's why California is scrambling right now for redistricting to try to rig some extra Democrat seats in the U.S. House. Whereas in Texas, all we're trying to do is reestablish proper representation of the Texas people, which is why Governor Abbott recently signed the redistricting in Texas that will probably favor GOP seats in the House. And I look forward to that. And again, most Americans reject the ideas of the Democrats. Most Americans reject the invasion of the United States. Most Americans agree with what our guest coming up, Michael Yan, has said this entire time, that, hey, we're not anti-immigration per se, but if you're going to come into the country, you got to do it legally. You got to get in line. You have to apply. It has to be a meritocracy. We, the nation, we get the right to choose who comes in and who doesn't come in. And if you do come in, it's only with our permission. And you don't get to vote. You don't get to vote because you're not an American. When I lived in Ecuador, I couldn't vote in Ecuador's elections. That would have been illegal. Had I tried to, I would have been arrested. In Ecuador, they have voter ID. You have to actually show your ID to vote. How come we can't do that in America? Well, Trump is working to make sure that we can. And so with this effort, I believe the Trump administration now has a very good shot at maintaining the majority in the House and the Senate in the midterms next year. I mean, we'll see. A lot of it depends on how well things go for the next year economically. and with inflation and so on, but at least the Trump administration is making some powerful moves in the right direction. But we'll be back after this break here with Michael Young. Stay tuned.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, filling in for the third hour of War Room today here on Infowars.com. I'm joining you from my own studio, the Brighteon Studios, outside of Austin. That's why you have a different background today. But we are now joined by a very special guest, Michael Young, who joins us from Japan. And do we have a show for you? The information you're about to learn in the next hour is mind-blowing. So welcome, Michael Young. Thank you for getting up so early in Japan to join us here today.
Oh, that's okay. I love coming on. I get up before sunrise anyway. I'm actually in my library in Japan, so it's good to be among my own books. Usually I'm out in the jungles or the deserts or that sort of thing, you know. And speaking of which, you know, when we're talking about the depopulations and repopulations and all this, it's not really about votes. That's just a train stop on the larger demographic terraforming that's going on. Look at this. This is from 1904, I think. I got so many of these. I've got The Secret of Rural Depopulation, right? I've got so many of these books from the 1800s and 1700s. And look, these, by the way, I use those gold backs as my bookmarkers. Economics of Migration. Yeah. The Economics of Migration. These are how-to manuals, right? That's book number one. That's book number two. That's book number three. These are how-to manuals, right? Book number four.
But they're how-to manuals about the weaponization of human migration, which has been used as a weapon for centuries, correct?
Yes. And this is just a good Lord. I mean, I've got, I don't know, 100 or 200 books on this. I mean, I've got 16 books just on the vanishing Irish. And I would say 12 of those books probably use Vanishing Irish or Vanishing Ireland in the actual title, right? This book here from 1846, they're talking about overpopulation in the islands, the British Islands, and also talking about Poland and France and how to take care of the overpopulation. I got tons of books on overpopulation and how to take care of it. And these are like well-written books. I mean, this is like no joke. What I'm getting to is, what we're seeing now is an old game. It's not like we're the first people to see a cotton grown or corn grown, right? And these people that play on the larger scale and also local scales, a lot of people know how to human terraform. In other words, move one demographic group out and move another one in. This is normal. It happens constantly. Yeah, we're watching it happen real time.
Michael, I love that term, human terraforming. That makes perfect sense. But speak to us about Western Europe, because in particular, you mentioned Ireland, but also Scotland and the UK in general, Britain in particular. We're talking about a massive overrunning of the populations there. But on top of that, the governments are always siding with the invaders while punishing their own people for daring to fight back. What's the image of the young girl? Was she a Scottish girl with the battle axe and the knife? Maybe we can show that image while you're talking, but can you answer that question, Michael, about why is it that these Western European governments are at war with their own people?
Oh, it's simple. They're captured. And again, this is an old game, capturing governments and capturing tribal chiefs and that sort of thing. It's an old game. By the time we were born, this stuff was down to an art and a science, at least for centuries, because I've got centuries of books of it right here in my library, right? And it's so when I'm down in places like the Darien Gap or Morocco or Luxembourg, is more than 50% invaders now, more than 50%. That was even in the Japanese newspapers about 10 days ago in the Sankei Shimbun, which is a huge newspaper here. But Masako and I, we went to Luxembourg about, I don't know, three or four years ago, and it was already over 50% aliens. So you don't need more than 50% to capture the vote, right? This is a complete terraforming. Basically, the larger scale globalists are creating, a feudal state. They're creating a giant slave planet, basically, right? And, yes. It's a long process. It's a process. It didn't just start with Biden or Obama or any of that. It started before any of our grandparents were born. I mean, it's in my books. I mean, it was already an art long before our grandparents' grandparents were born. It was down to an art. It's just a long process. And there's different oligarchical structures that are doing it for their own reasons. And they're in competition, like the Chinese Communist Party. They're doing it. I've been to Tibet looking at how they do it there. I'm watching them do it in Thailand. They're doing it. Now, the Thais will say that that's not happening, but I've been all over Thailand. I used to have an office right there in Chiang Mai, and like the best part of Chiang Mai, right at Wat Chedi Luang, right in the middle, right? Who came and bought the nice house next door? Chinese guy, married a Thai woman, built it, tore down that beautiful home and made a beautiful hotel, right? I mean, that's just one instance of gazillions, right? And so, that's just Thailand. But what I'm getting to, this is happening everywhere, right? It's not, or most, like here in Japan. Japan is being thoroughly invaded right now. It's not as advanced as we are, but the architecture is in place, IOM. Now the Japanese are suddenly waking up. They're asking me, like, my inbox gets filled with Japanese, and they're saying, have you heard of IOM? I'm like, yeah, somewhat. Yeah, I have been to their office. Misako and I went to their office in Buenos Aires and asked for a job in November of 2024, right? We've been to their offices all over the world. Yeah.
But Michael, I want to show you. These are the symbols of the new resistance here now, right? So this is what I believe that Scottish girl was showing. Now, these happen to be made in America here, but this tomahawk inspired by Native American populations here in America. This shape actually is more of a Japanese-style tanto blade, although this one happens to be made in America. These are Dawson knives. But I happen to have, like, all kinds of weapons in my studio, so I'm just grabbing them. But what I'm trying to say is that the people, there she is, she's showing that like a hatchet, something less sophisticated than this tomahawk, a hatchet and a knife, where even the young girls, in order to avoid being raped, have to now brandish weapons to push away the invaders. And then that girl got arrested by a raid level group of police that arrested her for daring to just show a means of self-defense. You know, like in America, we'd be pulling out Glocks. You know, if someone try to rape a girl in America, you're going to get ventilated. But in the UK, they just let it happen. It's insane. When does this end? I mean, when do these governments actually end up getting overthrown by their own people, is what I'm saying.
It's been a process. And keep in mind, so it, like, the royal family, obviously, in the United Kingdom is, they're trash. I mean, they're basically trailer trash. Let's get to what, you know, they're trailer trash with cool accents, right?
Pedo trailer trash. That's Don't forget the pedo part. Yeah. The qualifiers.
Right. I mean, they are that, right? And, I mean, they pretend to be royal. And so people pretend they're the king and queen. And likewise with the government, they pretend to be the government, and people pretend that those people who pretend to be the government are the government, and therefore they are the government, and that those people are completely captured. That's the true in Netherlands as well. Deutschland, you know, Germany, that's the same. And Belgium is gone. Luxembourg is gone. France is nearly gone, will be. Sweden obviously gone. And country, only the countries who have stood their ground, just a few, Poland, Hungary. But keep in mind, they'll end up being taken in the long run, because they'll just through external pressures, right? One thing that's quite interesting, Misako found the other day, after World War II, the United States had about more than 7,000 books in Japan that were put on a list, and they were collected and destroyed, right? But some of those books have survived, and she found one recently. She's translating it in English so I can read it. And it talks about, this is a 1941 book. It's Showa 16 is the actual date, which is the Showa end of the beginning of the Showa era plus 16 years, which is about 1941, right? So, and in this book, the Japanese army officer explains how Chinese fight war. For instance, we'll just talk about Chinese. There's different ecosystems that are doing this. Let's talk about the Chinese. And this Japanese officer talks about how the Chinese in war, they don't really mind losing land, because to them, they know they're going to get it back later. And in fact, if they lose it to somebody who will build it up, that's a positive, because you'll build it up and then they'll take it back later, right? And whereas the Japanese are opposite. They won't give up one square centimeter. The Chinese will give it up and they'll take you demographically. Chinese take you demographically.
Which is what Russia is doing to Ukraine. Russia is defeating Ukraine demographically, not focused on territory.
Weapons of mass migration or demographic right. weapons. Like for instance, what China does in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, they try to force people not to speak Cantonese, only speak Mandarin, rewrite the history books. That's the normal game. And, bring students over to mainland China to go to school, the normal stuff, right? And, yeah. and eventually you end up just becoming, I put this on my Substack a couple of times. I just put it on a couple of days ago, but when I was in Taiwan years ago, well, I was there again last year, but I was in Taiwan and I was talking with a PLA officer, which is a mainland Chinese officer. Now, I've said this before and people say, that's outside the Overton window. You're saying you were talking with a mainland Chinese officer in Taiwan. Well, I was. In fact, last year, Misako and I, we're in the office of the Taiwanese man who runs the program. He's very high in the government. He's a very serious man. And I told him about that, and he's like, yeah, I run the government. I mean, I run that program. What I'm getting to is that PLA officer told me in Taiwan, he said, we're not going to attack Taiwan. Americans always think in terms of there's going to be a kinetic war. But what we will do is we will become Taiwan. Already several thousand companies from Taiwan are situated in mainland China. Okay, so let's fast forward. That was about 10 years ago or so, maybe 11 or 12. And so when I was in Taiwan.
Hold on, Michael. Let me interrupt. I just want to confirm what you're saying there, that it's very clear that Taiwan's going to be assimilated by China, almost certainly through a non-violent process, more like a Hong Kong-style process. And the fact that the Trump administration is punishing Taiwan and punishing Japan and punishing our allies with these punitive tariffs is only actually turning more of our allies right now into – it's driving them into the embrace of the BRICS nations like China. Can you speak to that as you continue? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, right. I mean, this is all part of it. It's important because they are very good at information war. I mean, you know, a substantial part of my library is information war, and then subset is Chinese information war, of which I've written three books on Chinese information war, right? So fast forwarding what that PLA officer told me in Taiwan about a decade ago, Misako and I, about year and a half, 2 years ago, we were in Roatan in Honduras, that's an island off Honduras, and we had dinner. We were having dinner with a very interesting guy, and I asked him, do you know anybody in the Honduran government or military who has been invited to China? And he said, yes, a good friend of mine who happened to be a retired, and with what I tell you here, people could easily find out who he is. So he said one of his friends is a retired Honduran general. He was basically the equivalent of their chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So I asked, can we invite him to dinner tomorrow night, right? So he was unfortunately on mainland Honduras. So I said, well, let's get him a plane ticket. So he flew in. So the next night we had dinner with this general, right? He's like their chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He's of Chinese descent, right? I think his grandfather came over in about 1923, and he got invited back to China, and he numerous times, and he's all in the Honduran news, you know, with Chinese descent. That's what they do, right? Now, what I'm getting to with this is that general in Honduras. He's a Honduran general. He said the same thing to me that that PLA officer said in the same words. He said, Americans think that we're, you know, the Chinese are going to come fight everybody, but that's not what they'll do. The Chinese will become you, right? He said the exact words that the other guy said that the Chinese mainland officer said in Taiwan, right? Now I see that in places like Panama. I see it all over the place. And this old, Japanese book that was banned by American GHQ, which is General Headquarters after World War II, that Japanese officer, army officer is saying that's how Chinese do it. He's saying that in 1941. Yeah. In 1941, Michael, he's like, the Chinese just become you.
And we're just coming off the back of the SCO meeting in China, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, that brought Modi from India together with Putin and Xi. Now, I mean, India used to be our ally, at least neutral. Now Trump puts 50% tariffs on India, and then Modi doubles down on its cooperation of economic trade with Russia and China. So now, you know, instead of the tariffs bringing us friends and strengthening our supply chains around the world, many of these tariffs are driving our former allies into the embrace of our strategic opponents, which would be China and Russia. And clearly the economic future of our world is going to be multipolar. Clearly, the U.S. dollar is collapsing. Look at the price of gold and silver today, record high on gold, $3,500-plus per ounce. Clearly, the whole world is tired of being bullied by the economic sanctions and the dollar collapse and all the dollar printing and the tariffs and the fact that the tariffs are, you know, they're on one day, they're off the next. It's like sort of Trump's opinion of the day is what ends up being applied to India or to Japan. And it's like, how can the world even operate? How do you operate in a business environment with the unpredictability of what Trump is doing to our allies around the world? Does that make sense, Michael?
Instability will cause capital flight big time. You know, I used to live in the East Bloc. For instance, I lived in Poland for 2 years. If you, I started a business in Poland after I was in the army and whatnot. And one of the things, I'll tell you a little story that happened in Poland while I was there. The Polish government needed money. So they went, you know, on Friday, everything was fine. On Monday, they just had a new border tax. I think it was 5% or whatever, 15. I can't remember, but it was, I put it in my spreadsheets and I'm like, well, that means, you know, that's going to crush my profits. And I literally started getting ready to make an exit plan from Poland. But luckily, Coke and Pepsi, who I was in their offices frequently, the top guys of both companies, Coke and Pepsi also were going to get hit hard with that, as were some others. And so they fought back, and Poland took that border tax off immediately. But what I'm getting to that is that volatility, that, you know, that just a precipitous changes like that causes capital flight. And big time business people will tell you that every day. I mean, some people thrive on chaos, obviously, because you can make a lot of money in chaos when others can't operate in those systems. But for the larger economies, you need stability, right? For the larger economies, we're trying to send some candles back the other day to the United States, and these cool Japanese candles, which are amazing. But the Japanese Post isn't sending boxes to the United States right now. They're not sending, they'll send letters, but they've actually stopped that because of these tariffs, right? That's
pretty
significant.
I think also the ending of the de minimis, standing for parcels also. So yeah, these have been some really abrupt and dramatic changes that are also affecting the supply chains of the United States. Now, Michael, I want to ask you about the U.S. versus China competitiveness when it comes to building out, AI infrastructure, data centers, and power grid. As you are well aware, you know, infrastructure also determines the future success of a country in many ways. China currently produces more than twice the total aggregate electricity output annually compared to the United States. I think China is over 10,000 terawatt hours annually, and they're building a new massive dam that's even larger than the Three Gorges Dam. It's a hydropower dam. It's going to add far more to their power grid than even 10 nuclear power plants in the United States. It's not even close. The U.S. is playing catch-up now. Our power grid can't handle the data centers. The entire Eastern power grid has announced no more data centers because we can't provide electricity to them. So given the fact that China is also producing its own microchips now that are competitive with NVIDIA in many ways, that China can scale its power grid, that China didn't fall for the climate change lunacy, so China can build coal-fired power plants like they're doing every single day, or natural gas power plants. China can get gas from Russia, new deals with gas exports out of Russia, that the U.S. can't bomb those pipelines, you know, like they did Gazprom or Nord Stream. So what does this mean for the future of IT infrastructure competitiveness between China and the United States, in your view?
China is clearly taking the lead. It's obvious. And not only that, with these routes and resources, for instance, China is slowly taking Panama, despite what people think. I mean, they're building the bridge right now. I get constant updates on the bridge. You know, I'm down there all the time. The Chinese are not moving out of Panama. They're moving more people in every day. They're becoming Panama, right? And the Panamanian government's getting nervous. I get messages from them. They're getting nervous as well, and they can see it now. And this is the same old game. So you got oligarchical systems fighting each other. The main oligarchical systems fighting in Panama, over Panama, is China versus Zionist. That's crystal clear. Same in Argentina.
Really? Wait. It's China versus Zionist. Why?
Crystal
explain
clear.
That. Why is it China versus Zionist for control over Panama?
For instance, BlackRock, obviously Zionist operated entity, and you know they are trying to take those two ports on either side of the Panama Canal, the Hutchinson ports, where I'm at those all the time. Those are the two. There's multiple ports inside the Panama Canal, right? There's multiple terminals. But those are the two most important. They're connected by a train system, the Panama Canal Railway, which is an amazing, it used to be the most profitable railway in the world. It's only like 50 miles long. I've ridden on that. But this says BlackRock strikes the deal. It didn't work. And I said it right at the time. We'll see if it goes through. As soon as that hit the headlines, people said, see, Trump won. I'm like, ceasefire, Rambo. And that's not what happened. China still has those, right? And China is still moving in. They're moving in inch by inch, day by day. They're building the bridges down in the Darien. They're clearly going to connect Panama with Colombia, right? Clearly. They're taking over places like Ecuador. They're taking it bit by bit. They're taking these places. They're using our old games. They're not using any new games, by the way. The debt traps and whatnot. You know, President Grant, when he came to Japan in 1879, I've got all of his letters, all 32 books of them, right? In volume 29, he's warning the Japanese emperor that outside entities will come here and get you fired up against you and China. Outside entities will come to Japan and China and get you two fighting each other. This is President Grant warning the emperor of Japan. And he said that these outside entities will loan you money, and then they will own Japan and China. So he's warning, President Grant's warning them not to take loans.
Economic hitman. Yeah, that's exactly what
that
is.
Old game.
Old game. But Michael, it seems like you're saying China versus Zionist. I might reframe that to say just East versus West at the moment. But since you mentioned the Zionist entity, let's talk about the Suez Canal. Because, of course, Egypt.
Can I say something? It's not East versus West. Because the East is very divided over here. No. Like Thailand doesn't want to be part of China.
Is it the West versus
Japan
the global South? Or how would? Okay.
A lot of it's Zionist versus CCP, clearly. And then there's other entities too. There's the Russians and whatnot. Of course, SCO. Most military officers I speak with, they still never heard of SCO. That's the enemy NATO. They never even heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, we're about to go to break here shortly. We're going to continue on the other side. But when we do, I'd like you to talk about Egypt, the Suez Canal, and Israel's Greater Israel plan, which actually they want to assert control over the Suez Canal for control of the trade routes. China doesn't want that, obviously. So how is China going to work to control the Suez Canal? We'll be right back after this break.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. so good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim. This is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more, the natokinase and the serapeptase. Those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. We look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. Well, this is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Continuing here on The War Room, Mike Adams with my special guest, Michael Young. Before I bring Michael back in, I thought I would just explain this pin that I have here in case you can't quite zoom in enough, probably. This is, it's got two flags. It's got Texas and then Texas Rangers. And this pin was given to me by a Texas Ranger who just wanted to acknowledge my work for the state of Texas. And some of that work is due to our guest, Michael Young, who is really, he's been very critical of Texas Governor Abbott, who Michael Young says Abbott didn't do nearly enough, and it's clear that's the case, to protect the border during the Biden administration. I've also interviewed the new candidate for Texas Governor, Doc Pete Chambers, who's been a guest on this show, and he's been a guest with Alex. And Doc Pete Chambers has my support and my vote. So just in terms of politics and Texas and protecting the border for all Americans, I just want you to know what this pin stands for. It means I'm pro Texas, which is why I have the Texas flag here. Maybe my guys can show the camera six. You can see I've got a Texas flag here in the studio. But anyway, just eliminating any bizarre theories about what this pin is. It's just Texas Rangers and a Texas flag. So anyway, getting back to our guest, Michael Yan. So we left off with China wanting to really assert control over trade routes because, of course, the future of the world belongs to the nations that have the pipelines, the sea routes, and the land routes. And China's been building those up very aggressively. And it seems to me, Michael, that one of the reasons the UK supports Israel so strongly geopolitically is because the UK and Western Europe depend so strongly on the Suez Canal as a route for energy exports from the Middle East through the Persian Gulf and then up through the Red Sea, through the canal to the Mediterranean, to the Western European nations for LNG and other critical exports. But Yemen has proven that the West really can't protect ship cargo through the Red Sea, which may explain why Israel just recently bombed and killed, wiped out the Yemen prime minister and the entire cabinet in a horrific bombing incident there that throws diplomacy completely off the table. What do you make of all of that, Michael, and the route of the Suez Canal and Egypt's role as well?
Well, these wars are about routes and resources, and that's something Doc Chambers knows all about.
Yes.
He and I have spent so much time together on the border and all over. Doc Chambers and I have spent an enormous amount of time together talking about these things just privately, him and his dog Joe driving in the pickup truck all the way to Florida talking about this, right? And so routes and resources, that's what these wars are about, right? They're not about October 7th or any of that. That's little stuff. This is big stuff. We're talking stuff that goes on. The Suez Canal. Okay, this is a book by Ferdinand de Lesseps, by the way. De Lesseps is the one who is attributed with, you know, being the master blaster at the Suez Canal. It opened in 1869, the Suez Canal, right? And since then, that changed the world. This guy, de Lesseps, is a key guy, right? He's a very, very interesting fellow.
I'm sorry, this is a blank page.
I got the wrong page, but he
that's the memory hold version from the globalists. It's like no history
and
for you.
That's the way de Lesseps ended up when he tried to make the Panama Canal. It was a blank page because he didn't succeed, and he almost went to prison. And so we made the Panama Canal, but the Suez Canal opened in 1869, right? And ever since then, the British have wanted to have control of that, right? And because these routes and resources, when you look at the whole colonial period, which is still, it's not done. There's just different people colonizing now. Now it's China, right? But it's always been about routes and resources, whether it's the Venetians against the various entities there in Italy, you know, the Pisans and the Genoans and all that, right? It's all about routes and resources, Roman times, spice routes, the whole thing, right? This book is Gwater. A lot of people know about Gwater, especially if you were involved in the logistics for the Afghan war. Gwater is that big port in Pakistan. You know, Pashtun people and Baluch people have contacted me so many times about Gwater. They're concerned about Chinese taking Gwater and you know, because Gwater is very important to China. It's part of their SCO. The route that comes through China, through Pakistan, goes right out through Gwater. And they'll go right through, of course, the Strait of – there's seven, arguably,
the Strait
eight
of Hormuz.
Major
– Yeah.
Right, Strait of Hormuz. There's a Strait of Hormuz on that map, actually.
Yeah, that's why I'm seeing the Strait right there. Yeah.
But Iran
controls the access to that Strait, though. I mean, we need to talk about Iran and how it can cripple that, or how there could be a false flag to blame Iran for shutting down the Strait of Hormuz also. Don't forget about that.
Why? Yeah, and people constantly bring up that Iran could close the Strait of Hormuz. Obviously, they could. But why would they do that? That would be like Russia or Germany blowing up Nord Stream. And there's still people that think Russia did it, right? That Russia...
That's crazy.
Nord Stream? I mean, it's and likewise with the Strait of Hormuz, China doesn't want that shut, obviously.
Right.
Japan doesn't want it shut.
The UK doesn't want it shut.
Misako and I have a game plan. If Strait of Hormuz gets shut, We're going to stop everything we're doing and increase our resilience considerably, right? Because if it stays shut for a period of months, it's going to have serious effects here on Japan, right? But it'll take a while. There's a long flash to bang, but it'll have a bang, right? If it stays shut for a period of time. You know, of the major choke points in the world, Suez, Bab al-Mandeb, which the Houthis have closed, Strait of Hormuz, of course, Strait of Malacca, Strait of Gibraltar, Turkish Straits. Notice a lot of these are right in that little area. You know, Strait of Gibraltar, Turkish Straits, Suez, Bab al-Mandeb, and Strait of Hormuz. That's why, I mean, that's a center of war constantly over those routes and resources for centuries. Well, the Suez Canal opened in 1869. And of course, Panama Canal in 1914. But this notice our information war has been that Iran may close the Strait of Hormuz, but we've left their Navy intact. We haven't attacked their Navy, right? Now keep in mind, there is no reason on planet Earth that Iranians would want to close the Strait of Hormuz. Now this will damage all of our partners there, Saudi, UAE, Qatar, Bahrain, Iraq, obviously Iran, did I miss one? This would do significant damage to all those guys, right? By the way, I've been on those two oil platforms in the Persian Gulf called Abot and Kayot. Those are the two terminals that Iraq uses to ship their oil out, right? I've been on those platforms with the British Navy, and actually one of them got attacked by a suicide boat. I wasn't on it when it happened, and those are right next to Iranian waters. I mean, like arrow distance away is the closest one, right? I mean, literally you could hit it with a compound boat, right? So for Iranian waters to the Iraqi oil terminals, Abot and Kayot, one of those terminals, I've forgotten which one, was right there. They could literally hit it with a fire arrow. And so, if Iran wanted to shut that down, it would be child's play, but they would be cutting their own neck, and they would be smashing China as well. Remember, SCO, the languages of the SCO are Mandarin and Russian, right? And the SCO includes, obviously, Russia, China, Iran, India, Pakistan, a lot of the stands, right? SCO, China, we're about to fly back over to Thailand and look at some of the Chinese railroads again, right?
But Michael, because what the SCO is doing right now is, I mean, they're doubling down on being able to avert control by the United States through dollar sanctions and also the SWIFT system. So the SCO is not BRICS per se, but they are interlaced or intertwined. And these nations find alternatives to the dollar, like India, is being punished for buying Russian oil. Like what gives the United States the right to tell India who they can buy energy from? And then for U.S. officials, I think it was Besant who said this. Maybe it was somebody else who said that Ukraine is India's war. Because India buys oil from Russia? That's completely insane. How is Ukraine India's war? And why does the United States think it has the right to bully the world and tell people who they can buy other goods from between themselves? This arrogant dominance of U.S. trade policy is exactly what's driving the adoption of BRICS settlement systems. And it's driving India and even eventually Japan into the arms of America's strategic competitors or enemies, isn't it?
Clearly. I mean, at the end of the day, on Maslow's hierarchy, friendship with the United States is not on that hierarchy, right? But the ability to eat is, right? And, I told a Japanese admiral about a year ago in his office, I was like, you know what? You need to buy oil from Russia. He looked at me like I was not oil, but gas. He looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, I would, because at this point, Japan could end up in a famine, right? This is no joke, right?
Absolutely.
Japan has no energy security. And by the way, these old Irish books about the vanishing Irish, there's one of the books from 1953 I was looking at last night, and the author's 1953, right? He's talking about how the The Irish are not farming anymore. They're not getting married. They're not having children. 1953, right? He's basically describing Japan today. But it's part of a larger war. This isn't just organic internally. This is from outside attacks. For instance, the English attacking the Irish. You know, the Irish famines from 1846 to 52, arguably. I've read three books. We went to Ireland and looked at the famine museums and all this stuff. But the English... And some of the Irish, actually, and Scottish, they were taking the land from the Irish, from the Catholics specifically, right? And they were causing, keep in mind, this was at the heyday of colonialism. There was probably thousands of ships on the seas, and I mean like literally thousands, between the Dutch and the English and the Americans and everybody else. It would have been easy to flood Ireland with food. That would be child's play, right? In fact, the Quakers were bringing some food in, but the English and others were trying to starve out the Catholic Irish to take their land.
And Michael, and I'm sorry, there's a slight delay because you are in Japan, so it's a little bit more latency here. But in America today, that famine can be engineered through simply price inflation on groceries. So it doesn't always have to mean physical food scarcity. It can also mean food accessibility scarcity, where nobody can afford to buy the food because hamburger might be $50 a pound. And then you also see farms in America being taken over, purchased, and converted into solar farms to provide power to the data centers. And it looks to me like it's the ultimate war is going to be the war with the machines or the data centers, because you've got all these resources, which is food and water and electricity, that humans need to live. The humans are competing with the data centers for those three things. Data centers need gigawatt hours. Data centers need water for cooling systems. Data centers need land for the solar farms and to build the data centers themselves. So, you know, it seems like this long-term demographic war that you often describe is now shifting into a machines versus humans phase as well, in addition to all the globalism stuff and destroying Western civilization. Do you see what I'm talking about here, Michael? The machines are...
Absolutely.
Going to be a huge factor.
This is an old war. This is an old war as well. It's just now in a more advanced state. It's like a nuclear state at this point. For instance, the Luddites. You've heard of the Luddites before. And the word sabotage actually comes from, they had the looms
the
and whatnot.
Were shoes were the sabots, right?
That's right. The sabo shoes. And they would take those shoes and throw them in the machine. Yeah, they would take shoes, like the Dutch shoes. The French had similar wooden shoes, and they would throw those sabots into the machines, right? And of course, the Luddites always lose in the end. I mean, you can see that historically, because the Luddites, even if you have, if you don't allow these machines in your market, well, the neighboring countries will do it, and then they'll have lower prices, and then they'll take the market. And so you're always you're just going to have to compete, period, right? And now we're competing. Now we're going to, I mean, this is existential, obviously, with these machines, and, you know, our enemies will end up with this information. They already have it. They're the ones creating it, right?
The scaling up of the construction of the robots that can do the work is going to be controlled by China, as far as I can tell, because China has the rare earths such as neodymium, which is necessary for the actuators of robot joints, right? And China can just say, hey, we're not going to export robots at all. Just like the United States says, we're not going to export microchips or Blackwell-class NVIDIA chips to China. China can say, well, we're not going to export robots to you. No robots for you. Like, no soup for you, you know, like that kind of moment.
Right.
But internationally, and then China can build out its robot infrastructure for all kinds of domestic manufacturing. They can get labor down to a dollar an hour effectively, even cheaper than their own Chinese laborers. And then the cost advantage of Chinese manufacturing would be even greater compared to the West, which will take a decade or more to automate because we can't get robots because we don't have the neodymium because we gave up the rare earths, you know, a couple of decades ago, beginning with Bill Clinton, by the way. I mean, the lack of planning for this nation is off the charts insane, in my opinion. It's not all Trump's fault either. I'm not blaming Trump for all this stuff that took decades to come to this horrifically poorly planned situation.
Centuries. Trump is just a leaf on a tree. He's going to fall off and be gone, and he'll be replaced by another. Trump is just a gear in the machine. He's not, just like Obama. A lot of people say this all started with Obama. The people that say that have zero idea what's going on. Obama is just another meat puppet who was put into position. He was raised to be that guy, the Clintons as well. They're selecting for people with no morals and the people that are very good at manipulation. Basically, they're selecting for controllable narcissists that are have zero morals, right? That's what is selected for and emplaced and emboldened in these governments. Speaking of no soup for you, I'm sure the Irish have heard of superism, you know, when the famine was going on, and it's like, you want some soup? You want some stew? You gotta convert to Protestantism, right? And, keep in mind, over in Ireland, they still got a huge wall up in Belfast that's bigger than the Trump wall. It's more than 20 miles long to separate the Protestants from the Catholics. This is white guy Irish separated from white guy Irish. Ireland is easily destroyed, right? And it will be. In fact, I think it already is. And likewise, Luxembourg's gone. So bit by bit, these things have been, you know, on the chessboard, or the Chinese would say on the go board. The Chinese have been, and the others have been, taking their slices. But again, there's different oligarchical systems that are doing this. It's not all one. Like, for instance, when the Chinese were coming through the Darien Gap, a lot of them actually stayed in Panama. Others came to the United States and Canada, right? But there's, you know, so different systems were using the same road for different ends, right? And so this is what's happening. We have these global oligarchical fights. They're nothing new. They're nothing new at all. In fact, everything that you talk about, I can find a historical precedent without looking in the books, because I've read them. I've read for years.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. And our failure to learn from history can be the downfall of nations, because, you know, right now I see Trump continuing. He's got no choice, it seems, to continue the currency printing, but he's engaged in a lot of punitive actions against allies, like I mentioned. It's forcing the world away from the dollar. And as that happens, as more trade is conducted without the dollar, then dollar demand is falling. The purchasing power of the dollar is falling. And that's reflected in the price of gold and silver that's skyrocketing right now. Record high gold today. Silver, 11-year high, and continuing to skyrocket. And also, Michael, don't forget that silver is an industrial metal that's used in very high demand in data centers and in cruise missiles, in telecom and electronics and anything, the conductive wire that goes into data centers. So when Trump announces $1 trillion of investment into data centers in places like Texas and Arizona, you know what that means for the demand of silver? So silver's going to keep skyrocketing, I think. The dollar's going to keep collapsing. And the number of impoverished Americans who can't afford health insurance, home insurance, car insurance, or basic freaking groceries, that number is going to increase dramatically. How, Michael, does Trump or anybody in his position turn this around without a catastrophic collapse of the currency, in your view? Is there a historical precedent for that?
I don't see Trump trying to save America. I see it. My Rorschach is very, very different. And it's very predictive, actually, right? And the whole time I've been saying, when it comes to the migration, the invasions, we'll wait and see if he really does it. We'll wait and see if he defunds the United Nations. We'll wait and see. It's not defunded. The architectures are still all in place, right? And he's just announced that he's going to allow 600,000 Chinese. Our most capable enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, is now allowed to insert another 600,000 atop all the millions that are already in the United States.
I think he backed off of that, though. I think he reversed that, but it might have just been an opinion or a quote. But we should fact check that to see if that's still in play. But I get your point. There's so many more
things.
Yeah.
His mind changes so fast. It's like tracking which way the grass is pointing in a storm, right? And let me, you talked about, right. I mean, the guy's worthless. I mean, you talked about he's very worth something worth to the Zionists. He's very valuable. But you talked about how, the hyperinflation can lead to famine. It can, and it often does, like Weimar Germany. Hyperinflation often leads straight to famine, and there's certain mechanisms that you can see how it does time after time. People can't afford the food, so they start stealing it from the stores, of the warehouses, the trucks and the trains and the farmers, and then the food stops moving, and farmers stop producing it, and then you have a real famine.
Michael, I'm trying to give Trump the benefit of the doubt in all of this. I am, you know, but what I'm saying is that when he announces tariffs himself, one person, and when he says that that's going to cause long-term investment in industrial capacity in the United States, I'm thinking that's not going to happen, because the only way to invest into a new metal smelting plant or a new, you know, manufacturing facilities, you got to have a 10 or 20 year timeline of a payoff of that. In other words, you need to know those tariffs are going to be in place for a decade or two decades, which requires really Congress to determine what the tariffs would be. But Trump invoked the emergency order, the IEEPA or whatever it's called, and said, oh, there's an economic emergency, which is the trade imbalance, and then he slapped these tariffs on these countries. But we don't know if those tariffs are going to last. And a court last week ruled against the tariffs, said they were illegal, saying that October 14th, they're all going to be reversed. So if I'm an international company and I'm thinking, should I build a factory in America? I can't possibly put capital into that project with the unpredictability of Trump's tariffs. You see what I mean? And on that point, you and I both agree, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you wanted to create global famines, he's doing exactly the right thing. He's getting a high return for his investment. He can just say some words, use some carbon dioxide and say, hey, we're going to have all these tariffs, and then we're not going to have the tariffs. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. I don't know. 600,000, maybe yes, maybe no. But he's creating these conditions where people don't want to invest. He's creating conditions for more collapse of the economy, which is depopulation, which is what a lot of people want. And his oligarchical, he's doing everything right if you want to destroy the United States and Europe and Japan. If you want to destroy these power structures, this is perfect. And it's a very big return on investment. Seriously, for some carbon dioxide, you can cause massive, not just ripples, you're causing some waves here, right? And that have long-term effects. Everybody can see that the United States is unstable. It's very clear, right? It's very clear to China. It's very clear to Japan. But Japan, this government is equally captured. This government is as captured, and they're starting to do protests on the streets now about the invasions, the rapes and whatnot are increasing here in Japan. It's the same game plan here, right? And it's not new. This has been going on in the United States. And look at this. This is Fabian guys from 1904, but there's other stuff from the 1800s, 1700s, not from Fabians, but related. They're always talking about depopulation. They're talking about re-terraforming. And Japan has been under attack by the United States since a bare minimum since the 1850s, right? Bare minimum.
Well, Michael,
and that's easily demonstrable.
We're about to wrap this up, and I want to thank you for your time and your analysis today. And I want to mention that if you ask any AI engine out there about depopulation, they will all say it's a total myth, except our Enoch engine. Yeah. It's the only one that answers accurately, because we trained it on InfoWars material, 20 plus years of InfoWars and plus natural news, et cetera. But I think we have the only AI engine that actually, and it's free, by the way, that actually answers these questions correctly. It's trained on all the interviews that we ever did, Michael, also on top of that. But I want to give out your Substack real quick. It's Michael Yon, yon.substack.com. Is that right?
It is. And please go on there and look at the last few videos that I've done that are really fleshing this out. And on Enoch, exactly how do I get on there? I haven't been on in a while, and I'm going to start looking at some of these.
That's brighteon.ai for anybody that wants to use it. Just brighteon.ai takes you there. Yeah, it's free. It's non-commercial, easy to use.
Right.
But thank you for your time today, Michael, and thank all of you for watching here on InfoWars War Room. I'm Mike Adams signing off. Take care now.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.